Okay, right.
My favorite New Japan guy got jobbed, guys.
We are hot micing it.
Who's your favorite New Japan guy?
Oh, Gabriel Kidd.
Yeah, he looked good, but we'll get into that. Don't worry about it. We'll get there.
Wow. The fucking Kevin's favorite New Japan guy is the kid that just had a cup of coffee, and the only reason why he got to work was because he got stranded over there. You're no expert like Tony Z, who I'm pretty sure, if the Discord is correct, you watched some of that live this morning, buddy.
Well, I'm always this is part of the show? You're recording this?
Are we recording right now?
We're recording.
I'll talk to you guys. Never mind, then. I'll wait till after the show.
Yeah, I was. I get up for 6:30 for work anyway, and I was in the kitchen about 6:45 getting my breakfast on the stove, and I popped that shit on. And what surprised me is they open with the 8-man tonight, so I got to catch pretty much all four of the singles matches. So yay on me.
Oh, excuse me, that was a big burp. My apologies. So we'll get into all that. We got the New Japan Cup. We got AEW. We got NXT. We got WWE, Raw, SmackDown.
Kevin hurt himself again.
Kevin doesn't know how to use the mute mic on his phone. We got, we're speaking out. We're speaking in. We're covering it all tonight.
Speaking to this.
On the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Next, exclusively on The Rant. Or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. Become a Patreon at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another live edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
Kevon.
What's going on, fellas? Quite an interesting week, has it not been so for you guys?
Wow, what happened?
Like, personally or professionally?
All right, you want to get into personally first?
I mean, I had a complete fucking meltdown this week, so I had that going for me.
Well, people usually tune in to see, you know, just how badly, like, you, like, lose your shit, because that seems to happen more often than not. So, yeah, if you don't mind, you could share. It's cool.
Well, if you listen to the Wednesday Night Dynamite post show, my week had started off after this show last week, waking up Tuesday morning to find out that someone had taken my debit card information and spent about $1,200 on cigars.com, which was weird because my card was in my wallet. So I had to deal with that in the morning. And then after a busy night at work Tuesday of telling people how to properly use the internet to order, because, you know, it's 2020 and people are fucking morons. I come to find out that there were more charges on the card, which just made me even more upset. Then the heart rate monitor fiasco. That night when I come home, all I wanted to do was watch the New Japan Cup, but the heart rate monitor wouldn't work, so that fucking aggravated me. So I ended up throwing that around the upstairs and getting really aggravated. And then it was just a shitty week at work. And then Saturday was like the coup de grace, the whole week. It all fucking, that's right. It was like fucking, it was like Finn Balor coming off the fucking top rope.
The coup de grace.
It was.
how many chickens you got in that coup de grace?
We got a lot. There's a lot of chickens running around here. A lot of chickens.
Gotta get that chicken.
Love, feed your chicken, love your chicken, whatever Marshawn Lynch says about your chickens.
about that chicken.
Yeah, I had a long day Saturday, and I didn't want to do yoga, but I decided I was going to do it because of the group. And the heart rate monitor just wouldn't work. I fucking put it under water. I fucking covered myself in water. The sensors weren't working. Nothing was happening. I always wear my Fitbit, so I knew my heart rate was not doing anything. So, and I just had a fucking meltdown. I had a meltdown at home. Gesundheit, Kevin. I had a meltdown on the Discord. I just had a meltdown. A fucking epic meltdown.
But you got the heart monitor working, right?
No. I smashed the heart rate monitor into a million pieces.
Like Mr. Perfect with the winged eagle belt? Or a little more angry than that?
How much ever damage you could do with your two bare hands. So I snapped it in half, and then I snapped it again, and I threw it all over the place.
Why didn't you just return it?
Because it was broken at that point into a million pieces.
Oh, man.
Tell him it arrived like that.
No, it went right in the fucking garbage, man. It was...
How much did one of those run you?
That was like $80.
See, ooh. I don't understand that, dude.
That's a lot of chicken.
Like there's usually specials for $50 for those things, and I think you probably just got a bad one.
I got it off of his fucking website.
I got mine on Amazon.
Yeah, well, I was looking on Amazon, but I couldn't get it till like fucking July 15th.
Guess there's a lot of people out there doing DDPY.
I don't know. So whatever. I just got it. The first heart rate monitor I had worked perfectly. I don't know. So I had a meltdown Saturday. Recoup Sunday.
Recoup de gras?
I recouped de gras. I put up a fence. All the chickens are where they need to be. They're not cooping the grass out there in Morristown. So
cooping the grass.
We're good to go. You know what? I won't lie either. I'm sure a lot of it had to do with, you know, all this news in the wrestling world too. Like, after a while, you just need to fucking. I got tired of fucking going on social media and seeing who the next fucking sexual abuser was or who's fucking. Grabbing who and who's fucking kids and all sorts of awful shit. So, fuck, man. Like, wrestling is my outlet. I'm sure it's your outlet too, guys. It's bad enough being a wrestling fan. Like, just from go, people think it's like retarded. It's fucking stupid. It's fake. You're like, oh, but you don't say that about every movie or TV show that you watch, right? No, of course, because they have clothes on and we watch a bunch of grown men fly around in their underwear.
Why is that? Why do we do that?
I don't know. And then you just like, I know what happens is in every business model, but man, the fucking floodgates, like,
yep.
Whew. I mean, I don't know how much we want to talk about it or how far we want to go into it, but it's like been a nonstop thing since like Wednesday last week.
And what's, it comes at possible. I mean, there's never obviously a good time for it, but. Just as like the world was not getting over, but it seemed like the whole systemic racism, all the protests, all that stuff, like that was like the big like concern for everybody. And now to have this just piled on top of it, it's just two things that there's no excuse for. And it's on every single level, just like the systemic racism thing. It's on every level from WWE down to the indie of indies. And it's sickening and it's disgusting. And people that immediately try to invalidate a victim or I don't want to, I'm just going to get mad. I've been doing like everyone else. I've been doing the type, delete. Like want to say something, want to shit on everybody, but just, it's infuriating the whole thing.
That delete button is fucking magical. And I would suggest if you can hear my voice, take advantage of it because it's much more cathartic to write down what you think. Take a second to step away from the keyboard and then like cognizantly think about is it a good idea for me to put this out there? Because once you put it out there, it's out there.
But at the same time, people need to speak up. Like you need to like,
if
we have any sort of platform, I assume we do, then if we're not like, it's a part of like the same thing with the racism thing. If we're not speaking up, are we, you know what I mean? Like, are we a part of the problem if we don't use whatever platform we have to the 6,000 people that follow us?
I think Tony is talking about that initial reaction where you see something and your initial reaction is, I need to respond to this immediately without having any thought. You're going off of your emotions. You're not looking into the story. Let's read into the story. You know, we were all pretty guilty of it when the Enzo stuff happened. And I don't know Enzo. I wouldn't call him a saint. His character does not appeal to me. You know, like I wouldn't have a beer with the dude, but it's fair is fair, man. Dude got fucking railroaded. He lost his job at the WWE all because some girl cried wolf. Now, with that being said, I am not saying that these people are crying wolf.
Right.
But we have our side chat on the side. And when the David Starr stuff broke, I said, I'm not going to say anything until the facts come out because I want to see everything before I could turn around and say, yeah, he's a piece of shit.
And here's the fear with that. And I agree with you, but the moment, like I said before, the moment we start questioning the accusers or the victims or the survivors, the moment we start doing that, it can make like 10 people more afraid to say something that happened to them. So you know what I'm saying?
But you don't have to initially react and put it on social media. If Kevin Joseph Garifo sees something and you go, oh my God, that's horrible. But you know what? I'm going to wait a day and see what other information comes out. But there's those people who are quick to just look. I love Sammy Guevara. Matt Riddle. David Starr was awesome. We've never had a problem with David Starr. So I see how it's easy for people who know them or are big fans of them to jump to their defense. But I need to see, what the fuck is going on here. And when David Starr turns around and he says, gray rape, I got news for you, buddy. I don't know shit about Shinola, but rape is rape at the end of the fucking day, buddy. There's no gray rape. There's no fucking blue rape. You fucking raped a person, okay?
His apology was the worst thing I ever read, ever.
It's disgusting. It's a punch in the stomach. And the person I feel worse for, besides all these victims, is poor Tony, because he lets us come to his house when we're not under fucking... And this isn't the first time this has happened.
Yep. Shame on us.
Is it shame on us, though? We can't do a... are we never going to have guests again? Can I not allow people in my house? Do I have to do a fucking background check on all these fucking people now? Fuck, man? We just want to talk about pro wrestling. And we try and open our homes and our podcast and our hearts to these fucking people. And then to turn around and find out this one's fucking raping his girlfriend. This one's fucking trying to get a 15-year-old kid to suck his dick. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's disheartening, and I know that you really had a fucking breakdown with just shit piling on shit, but, you know, I was feeling it too last week. I was getting sick to my stomach reading half the shit that I was. And to get back to Kevin's point, how do we look at it? Do we need to say something because we have a platform? Should we say something? Is our silence ascension to what these people are doing? Are we giving credence to what they're doing by not saying anything? And I think that a situation for people like us, and we're fucking low men on the totem pole, no doubt about it, but you're fucked if you do and you're fucked if you don't. Yeah. If we come out and like what Matt says and says, well, let's give David Starr the benefit of the doubt, well, then you're a fucking supporter of rape. And if you don't say anything, because you're a friend of his and you don't want to throw him under the bus because he may be able to get you such and such and blah, blah, blah. Look at Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara... I get it. My personal opinion, he was making a joke. Was it terribly timed? Yes. Was it an awful joke to try to make? Abso-fucking-lutely. Now, he comes out and apologizes. You got people calling for the guy's fucking job. He should have never said this. He should be fired. He shouldn't be allowed to work in this business anymore. Yeah. And it's he fucking said words, and he apologized, and he handled it like a man. He got in touch with Sasha Banks and fucking dealt with it like a man. But for some people, that's not good enough. And regardless of that situation, it puts you in a place where no matter what you do, there's going to be that vocal group of people, because the people that fucking care about it, they're just going to shit on them anyway. And they're going to be like, nope, fuck him. He did this, he did that, and he shouldn't be allowed to work anymore.
And it's
just fucking insane.
And it's a shame. Like, listen, we're no saints here. We've all done some shit that we probably like as a comedian. Like, some of the jokes I used to tell, like, I can't see myself ever telling those jokes again. Like, ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Mick Foley called me out on one of them, for Christ's sake. Like, I can't see myself doing that again. But Sammy Guevara is a weird, that was a shit thing to do. Shit thing to get.
Yeah, it's a shit. But you can't put him in the same category of somebody trying to solicit a minor for a blowjob.
Oh, no, that's the other thing. There's so many different levels.
Like, raping girlfriends. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. What he did was not good. But to fucking say the guy doesn't deserve a job, like, Jimmy Havoc, he's got substance abuse issues, and there's shit going on where he may or may not have, like, you know, had physical altercations with his girlfriend. He's fucking getting help. You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you start drawing these lines? And to a lot of people, it's like, fuck him. He did X. He's done.
Well, I'll make an analogy. All right. It's very similar to the steroid era in baseball. Right. If you did steroids and you didn't make a fucking dollar and you were a lifetime major league, you still did steroids and you get lumped in with all these people. All right. Joey Ryan's got 13 plus as of this recording. Right. By the time this is over, there could be another 10 women. He's like fucking abusing women like Barry Bonds was hitting home runs on steroids. It doesn't matter if it's a minor allegation or you're Joey Ryan. Now you fall under that banner. I don't think Sammy Guevara deserves to be where he is. He shouldn't. I've never said once in my life I want to rape somebody. I've said I'll tag her out. I'd like to hit that. That's just a weird thing to say. Did that become a thing when people were like, man, I'd love to rape her? Because that's fucking fucked up.
What was his exact comment? Because I still haven't seen his exact comment.
It's audio.
It's pretty much, he's like, oh, I saw Sasha Banks at the Performance Center. I want to rape her or something.
I
want to
fucking
rape
her.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that. It was like, he was like, oh, Sasha Banks, Vince McMahon. I saw her at the Performance Center. Chocolate titties. I wanted to fucking rape her. Like,
and it's
from 4 years ago, isn't it? He was only what, 18, 19 at the time.
Yeah, but you can't. You have to know. You can't make.
I get you have to know, but you can't fucking call for a guy's head because he said a fucking stupid thing.
I agree with that. Look, the best thing Sammy Guevara did was own it. He owned it. He went out. Yeah. He apologized.
But to some people, that's not enough.
Look, there's a lot of emotion going on right now. There's a lot of people that are like, Will Ospreay got lumped into this whole thing, and it's because him and Bea Priestley allegedly got a girl blackballed from working at certain promotions because she said a friend of Will's sexually abused her. Not right, right? I don't agree with it, but I don't think Will Ospreay is a sexual predator.
We don't know.
That's true. From what I've seen so far, but that's somebody who takes abuse of his power and where he's
Sexual abuse.
Well, see, and that's the other thing. It doesn't always have to be legit touching or assault. If you're in a position of power and you use that to completely beat somebody down and completely make them question whether or not they even want to be alive or want to continue, that's bad. Like, that, there's no room for that either. And it might be a different category as the actual, like, criminal stuff that people are being accused of, but it's still bad. And everyone uses the term culture, and the culture of it's a cliche, but it has to change. And I mean, it just has to. And I don't know. I'll put a bow on it. Like that.
Well, look, it's a boys' club. It's always going to be a boys' club.
Yeah.
You know, cool. And look, we went through it. Maybe not in a sexual abuser way, but, you know, for the first couple of years we did this fucking podcast, we had to walk on eggshells. We can't talk about this. We can't talk bad about this person. Yeah, I don't give a flying fuck about any of these people. I don't give a fuck about the people at WrestlePro. I don't give a fuck about the people at New Japan Pro Wrestling. If I feel a certain way, I'm going to say it. What are you going to do? You're going to fucking blackball my pot? Get the fuck over yourself. All right? You work in your underwear. You're a professional wrestler. What are you going to tell fucking 10 people not to fucking listen to my podcast? I don't give a shit. If you do shitty shit, I'm going to fucking call you out on it. Just because you're a wrestler and they're supposed... There's no bond. There's no, like, magical wrestling bond. That's been destroyed. And this is the perfect example of it. You took all these boys and girls and they needed safety and they needed guidance and you took them and you fucking took advantage of them. All the way across the board. Every fucking promotion... Everywhere in the world, it's not just the fucking WWE or AEW or Jersey All Pro Wrestling or whatever's out in fucking Pennsylvania. All across the world, people took advantage of these fucking people. And now there's a whole generation of people that went to wrestling school because they loved it and they left it because they were scared, they were humiliated, and their fucking lives have been essentially ruined. Yeah. There's people... I can go and have sex with my wife whenever I want. There's people who can't have sex with other people because... It brings up these fucking awful memories.
Whatever you both want.
Yes. I didn't mean it like that, but I could have a...
Oh, that was good. I got to give it up to Kevin
for that one. I can have a normal sexual relationship with my wife, and it's not uncomfortable for either of us, but there's a lot of these boys and girls out there who can't have normal relationships with people because they have these scars that their trainer, somebody who instilled... Oh, I'll protect you and I'll take care of you into them when they were 17, 18 years old, only to turn around and jam a fucking thumb up their asshole when they're in a fucking bathroom getting a shower after a fucking job match.
And you just brought up a good point that I kind of wanted to make, is that it seems like people that get into the business are younger and essentially they're for the most part they're just kids. They're 18, 19, this and that, and still not emotionally mature enough to not be influenced by someone who's been in the business for so long. So you just add that log onto the fire and it's so combustible to do that. It's just, it's sickening. That's it, baby.
And everyone's responsible for it. If it happens in your school, it happens under your roof. Like, it's on you. Even if because people fucking talk, you hear it all. I work in a fucking restaurant. I've been in a restaurant for 20 years. I may not have something to do with something, but I know everything that goes on in the fucking restaurant. It's people talk. And if you're a fucking trainer, you own one of these schools, you're one of these people that took advantage of these poor fucking kids, you're a piece of fucking shit. And I'll fucking tell you right in your fucking face, I'll fucking spit in your face, I don't give a shit. You're the fucking lowest form of human being. To take advantage of somebody, to fucking sexually abuse somebody, to play fucking mind games with somebody... Oh, I'm not going to get you booked over here unless you suck my dick. Are you that fucking desperate? What the fuck is wrong with people? It's fucking sickening. It makes my blood boils.
It makes my blue blood boil. Godfather. Ooh, Godfather.
And it's across the board. Like, Joey Ryan, Impact. Dave Crist, Impact. Michael Elgin, which we went down this road with him a couple years ago. Impact. NWA, Dave Lagana had to resign because he's fucking sticking his hand down some poor girl's pants that he's sharing a bed with that's not his girlfriend. You know, Jimmy Havoc in AEW. Seems like everyone in the UK NXT scene is a fucking kid toucher piece of shit garbage. It's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing. You can't turn off anything and just put wrestling on without seeing one of these fucking scumbags or some headline with one of these people. And it doesn't stop. The Sammy Guevara shit was today. I thought we were past this. The fucking Mark Adam Haggerty shit was like late the other night.
I forget.
Yeah. It's not good. And there's no way to spin it. But I think... If you want to take away any positive from this, it is the people that are continuing to speak up and outing all these pieces of garbage. And it's now the point where what's next? What can we do to change the way that things are done? And it's time to get things right. And so to all the people that are speaking out and are being brave, all these survivors that are absolutely brave as hell, coming forward, and for the schools and for the companies that are taking, albeit maybe too little too late, but measures to improve what they do. It's the same thing that we just talked about with the racism stuff and the bias and the social injustice. It's what can we do to make this better so it doesn't happen anymore? And that is something that I hope that people are taking advantage of and doing it. And I've seen some people are. So, I mean, like I said, maybe too little too late, but it's something to take away.
Right. But you have to, we live in a vacuum. So this is the thing right now. Right. In another week, you know, it'll be something different. You know, the same people who were crying when that poor girl from Japan took her own life 2 weeks later are telling Carmella or Alexa Bliss to fucking kill themselves. It's all the same people.
Yeah.
You know, like this isn't the first time we've had like this. There's something wrong with professional wrestling conversation. It comes out in bits and pieces through all the people we know on Facebook. We see it quite a bit. You know, this is just a mass exodus. But this is not something that's just going to go away. For every one of those people, there's going to be I can't think of the fucking guy's name. Whatever jerk off runs Warriors of Wrestling. The other one that was making fun of that.
The racist guy.
Yeah,
the alleged racist guy, Bellini.
The other one who was making fun of the handicapped people that ran in Jersey. Whatever. He was a promoter. He was a wrestler. He was friends with the guy that used to do the show with us. What the fuck's his stupid name?
Carmine?
No, not Carmine. That kid's a fucking toolbox, too.
I don't even want to guess names that are wrong. So,
you're not talking about Pleska.
Who? No, not him. That fucking... He's a piece of shit, too, though, which is just proves my point that most wrestling...
Dave's volleyball sounded like a great idea.
Most wrestling promoters are fucking pieces of garbage.
You're not talking about... Obviously, I don't want to throw a name out there if it's wrong, so...
Well, write it down. Give it to Matt.
Nah, what the fuck was his name? It's like on the tip of my tongue.
He was making fun of like retarded people? Like,
yes. And he made fun of JP.
Was he in Studio B?
No.
Was he a phone guest?
No, I don't think he's ever been on our show.
Is he as what we refer to as the money mark?
He is a money mark of his own promotion.
I don't want to say his name because I don't think he's... I know who you're talking about, though.
I can fucking see his dumb face.
I'm going to Facebook message it to you if it's who I think it is.
You can just type it in the chat here.
Yeah, you can put it in the texting on the thing.
The Skype.
I turn my text notifications off while I do the podcast because I'm using my phone to do it.
In the Skype, there's a little thing where you can type into the chat.
Yeah, but that means everyone else can see it.
Who's ever? No, it's the three Skype of us. Three.
Not in that chat.
What's his name?
Just text.
What's his fucking name? It's not Dennis Long because that's the guy that
I know
stole everyone
is.
Money at Tier 1.
I know 100% who it is. Check your... But I don't think he's a...
A sexual abuser? No, but he's just a piece of shit garbage.
Pizza garbage.
And it's people like him that can still run shows, that still do shit that is involved in pro wrestling. Rob Fury. There we go. Got it. Bingo.
Oh, I had the wrong guy. Good thing I didn't say it.
In my brain. It came. I told you.
Look. Oh, fuck. I forgot that story. That's right. Shit.
You got to fuck. There's no, this, you know, this is going to be for the next couple months. It'll see them all honky dory and we'll clean out all the garbage. But guess what? You're never going to get rid of the garbage.
And it's not alone to wrestling, dude. It's every fucking business.
It is.
Didn't Hollywood just go through this shit a couple years ago as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Me Too movement.
And weren't they fucking trying to get some Supreme Court justices fucking knocked out for alleged abuse? And they're still trying to hang on shit for abuse, and
it's everywhere. It's
everywhere, dude.
It's comedy. I've been a bartender for what, 10 years? It's in the bars. It's in the restaurants. It's in stand up comedy. It's everywhere.
My only thing is, I don't know necessarily if Twitter is the right place to fucking make all this shit known. Because the problem with Twitter is everybody's got a voice. And rather than getting to the heart of the problem, it's everybody just being standoff. This guy's a piece of shit. He deserves to be fired, killed, shot, whatever. Maybe we should hear his side of the story. If you want to hear his side of the story, you're part of the problem. You're not giving people a chance to speak, so you're part of the problem. Nothing gets solved. It's a banter back and forth of fucking bullshit and nonsense. And there's no fucking justification for any of it. There's no wait and see when it comes to social media. If you're on one side, even if you question that side a little bit, well, then fuck you, you're on the other side, and we don't want anything to do with you. And it's not just situations like this. It's everything. It's political. It's fucking governmental. It's fucking social. It's in Hollywood. It's in wrestling. It's in every fucking facet of life, dude. Even your fucking local government. I guarantee either one of you guys, you go on your fucking local government Facebook page, there's people fighting over stray cats in somebody's fucking yard. There's people fighting over fireworks going off. And because fucking Fido and Fifi are having a heart attack under the bed, but God forbid you say, well, you know, fireworks are legal until 10 o'clock. Well, fuck you. You hate dogs. You're an animal abuser. You're a piece of shit. And you should fucking get a firework stuck up your ass.
Yeah, but they're not. They're not legal. They're not legal, Tony.
Some
what
of
do
them
you mean?
But it's
aerial fireworks are illegal. You can't. They can't.
And it was said aerial, dude.
Yeah, but that's what they are.
The ones that they sell at the Walmart down the street from me are not aerial, and they make a fuck ton of noise.
Yeah, fucking even jumping jacks will fucking scare the shit out of you if you're not expecting them.
Tony, what's different about your background? What did you do?
What did I do? I combed my.
Did you switch something up in your background?
No, it's always been.
I wore the 8x10s.
What if they're above me?
Where's the Wall of Fame?
It's above me.
Oh, all right. All right.
You okay?
No, I just look different for some reason.
Oh, sorry.
And that's how you kill momentum, people.
Yep, there you go.
There you go. To all those women and men and people that were abused that went and spoke out and they shared their stories, thank you. We are, I think collectively, we are sorry that you had to experience something like that in your life at any point, especially, again, at a time when you trusted somebody and you thought you were safe and you were around friends and you were in this tight-knit, made-up bullshit community that you've been fed through all these fucking books and DVDs and network specials and Facebook groups. You just, you know, fucking Steve Austin said it best. Don't trust anyone. These people are fucking dirtbags.
Just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid if something fucking smells wrong or looks wrong or sounds wrong. Don't be afraid, because for every piece of shit that you might have to deal with, there's going to be at least 20 other people that got your back.
And it's okay to fucking walk away from an opportunity.
Absolutely. There's one thing about an opportunity. There's another one right down the road. Don't fucking take the easy way out. Don't feel you need to be fucking degraded or dehumanized to get somewhere. Because chances are, if you're going to be dehumanized there, it's going to keep fucking happening. Get the fuck out and go somewhere else and fucking let people know what a piece of shit you're dealing with.
Yeah,
I know.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
It ain't easy, but it's fucking doable, and there's plenty of people out there that'll get your back and fucking support you.
Of course, it's not easy because you get labeled a problem, hard to work with, but then when more people come out, you know, and at the end of the day, all that matters is that you can lay your head on your pillow and sleep restfully knowing that you did the right thing. So if you're ever in a situation where you're not comfortable, you think something's wrong, you see somebody else being taken advantage of, take that, get the fuck out of there, okay? It's not worth the fucking hot dog, the handshake, whatever bullshit fucking lies some shady fucking gross wrestling promoter is feeding you that so-and-so's going to see this or so-and-so's going to tell somebody. Hey, guess what? Fucking former WWE superstar who's got 3 bumps on his bump card isn't even there to see your fucking match because he's down the road at the fucking Applebee's trying to get loaded so he can go home and remember the fucking good times instead of wrestling in front of 30 people at whatever shitty fucking bingo hall local gym you're at. It's not fucking worth it. Have some pride. Don't let these fucking people push you around. They're fucking garbage. Whole wrestling industry's full of them. They're all fucking dirtbags. Like I said before, what are we going to have to fucking background check everybody? fucking David Starr, Mark Adam Haggerty, fucking Rude Boy Riley, fucking Lanny Poffo's on a fucking list, which isn't surprising because if you recall, you know, we used to have a fourth wizard, and the first thing Lanny Poffo always said to that fourth wizard was, "How's your girlfriend doing?"
Did he really do that?
Yes, he really did that because he's a fucking creep.
Well, I know that we had somebody that was harassing somebody that you're close to. But I didn't realize Lanny Poffo was
for that fucking
situation.
Piece of shit superstar Billy Graham, you fucking decrepit old cocksucker. Look, I've been done with it for years, and I'll say it over. I'm done playing the fucking games with these people. You don't like it. You don't want to do the show. You think you're fucking. I don't give a shit. You're a fucking dirtbag. I'll fucking call you on it. And props to fucking Darius Carter, who called out David Starr a long fucking time ago. And everyone was like, no, he's the fucking best. He's good at Twitter. He looks like a real fucking shithead now, doesn't he? David Starr, not fucking Darius Carter. And it was all because Darius Carter accidentally hit Pete Dunne in the head with a belt and busted him open. And he made a big fucking deal about it on fucking social media. It's always David Starr did. It's always the people that are the loudest on social media. David Starr, the Midnight Jury got kicked off of iTunes because they went to war with fucking Joey Ryan. Well, guess what? I don't think anyone at the Midnight Jury has fucking sexually abused 15 plus women.
Yeah. And you know what? I remember talking to J. George about it. And we talked to David Starr about it. He fucking lost his shit when he had to wrestle J. George for fucking Tier 1 over some nonsense. He fucking completely went off on the guy. It's his fucking gimmick, dude. Fucking work.
We were there for that, weren't we?
I definitely was because I was calling shows at that point. But yeah, and David Starr allegedly was lame for the show, so he was hurt. He couldn't work it anyway. And then J. George came out. They were supposed to have a little banter back and forth to build a match, and then David Starr just lost his shit on him.
Nah, so fuck all these guys. I'll have anyone on as a guest, but I'm not playing fucking games anymore. I'll say whatever I want about whoever I want, whenever I want. And if you don't want to be a part of that or you don't want me to be a part of this podcast, that's fine. But I'm done playing the fucking baby games with these grown-ups with their fucking fragile fucking egos. Sick of it. Sick of seeing these fucking stories. I'm sick of the bullshit. We got to pander to this person. We got to pander to this group. We got to do this for them. They say we're going to do this for you. Shut the fuck up. Get out of here. I'm tired of your fucking mouth. Your fucking bullshit.
Can I ask a fair question then?
Fair is fair. Legend of Billie Jean.
I know. And fucking poor Putter got her period and they thought she got shot. That was a fun scene. You don't remember that when they fucking washed her in the ocean?
Oh, I do. I do.
Whatever it was. Putter, you've been shot. No, I haven't. It's so weird. Watch that with your eyes closed, and you'll think Lisa Simpson's in the car with them, because that's the only fucking voice Yeardley Smith has. And who played the brother? Who played
Christian Binks? Slater.
That's it, Christian Slater. I couldn't think of his fucking name.
What was your question? What's your fair is fair question?
Well, where does this leave us as wrestling fans? For it to be that difficult of a question, but I mean, I think it's a fair one to ask.
It's a hard knock to get back up from. You know, you're gonna think the next time, you know, you're alone. You know, you're a female. You go to a wrestling show. You take a cigarette break. You go out back. You know, wrestler A comes out back to have a cigarette. So here he is in his fucking tighties underwear, and you're like an attractive girl at a wrestling show. You're out back having a cigarette, and now, you know, it's gonna be uncomfortable. It's gonna be uncomfortable for him. And if that wrestler is aware of the situation he accidentally just walked into, it's gonna be awkward for him. Because you can't be alone with anybody now. Like, that's the thing. You can't.
See, and that's a terrible thing about the situation, because then how do men and women get together anymore? You know what I'm saying? Like, now everybody's got to be on eggshells. It goes back to your point.
Well, don't hit on wrestling fans.
Yeah, but I mean, Mick Foley would have never got fucking married if he didn't hit on a wrestling fan. You know what I'm saying?
Britt Baker would have never been with Adam Cole. Like,
exactly.
Like, there's still, but look, all right, well, there's
don't be a creep and hit on wrestling fans.
Yeah, just don't be a scumbag about it. You know, and.
Look,
but then,
man,
how do you tell a woman not to be afraid? You know, like, be cautious, I guess, you know?
Hey, here's what you do, okay? Because we all grew up in the AOL era, right? You hit them with the ASL. Exactly, Tony. If that age comes up too young, you fucking punch out, bro. You punch out. Yeah, age, sex, location. Let's go. Let's do it.
That's a t-shirt. Hit him with that ASL.
Well, you know what? Matt makes a great point, though. That's got to be your first line of defense, because it's innocuous and it puts everything on Front Street. If it's like anything other than 18 plus comes back, it's like, oh, glad you're a fan. You know, like you want an autographed picture and that's it, you know?
Right. And sadly, you have to check, because these fucking people with their social medias make themselves look like they're fucking models. They make themselves look older. I mean, look. Twitter's not the fucking place to be me. Go out like a normal fucking person. Go to a bar. Look, like someone like a Justin Roberts. Like Kate just shared something in the Discord. Like, and I was like, I don't see anything where she says, "Oh, I'm only 17." Not that it's right. Like,
I didn't realize Justin Roberts was in on this.
Oh yeah, Justin Roberts got called out today too. Dude's got to fucking pump the brakes on asking for fucking naked pictures and stop. Stop sending unsolicited dick pictures. What is wrong with you? Nobody wants to see your dick. And if they did, they'd ask.
I'm going to take it a step back. This is your Uncle Tony talking now, everybody. And please listen, because this is sage advice. No matter your age, no matter whether you're a boomer or Gen X or Gen Z or whatever you are, please, for the love of Abraham and everything that is holy, do not take pictures of yourself naked. Do not send pictures of yourself naked to anyone. Don't do it, because what happens when you press send, it's out there for the world to see. You don't know who you're sending it to. You don't know where it's going to wind up. And I'm not even talking about sending it to a wrong number. I'm talking about sending it to people that maybe you want to get with, or maybe somebody you trust. Don't fucking trust them. It's going to wind up out there and somebody's going to see your shit. And it's not a fucking nice thing. Especially if it winds up in the wrong hands, you have a lot of fucking problems. Don't fucking say stupid shit. Don't send naked pictures. For God's sakes, don't do it. Just don't do it.
Don't ask for fucking naked pictures. It's 2020. You got to fucking pull up porn on the internet in fucking 6 seconds. What are you doing, you fucking creep? Here's what you do, wrestlers. You go back to your hotel room, you fucking jerk off, right? Get it all out of your system, and then go out and fucking try and meet somebody or go on Twitter and talk to people. But stop asking for fucking... It's so creepy and...
What movie was it with the brother, Franks and Beans? What the fuck movie was that?
Something about Mary.
Yeah, when fucking Elliot, what's his name, told Ben Stiller. He goes, yeah, fucking unload the gun before you go out. You'll have a great time.
Chris Elliott.
Because then the pressure's off. Just fucking unload your gun, people.
Look, Joe Rogan tells a joke all the time. Joe Rogan tells a joke all the time. You want to stop dudes from getting chicks pregnant? Have a fucking billboard where one picture is a dude and he's like thinking about going out, and the next is him holding a baby, and then underneath it, it's a dude who just jerked off.
Well, I don't know if Joe Rogan's the right guy to come to the defense of this issue, because he's been in hot water now too lately.
No, because he said something about the masks.
I don't know what he said, but I just saw clickbait stuff, I guess.
Oh, well, good job, Kev. Way to bring up something you don't know anything about.
What the fuck, man? People have been shitting on him. What do you want? All I said was people have been shitting on him.
But you don't know for what?
Kev, what's that behind your head?
What? My name.
Did you remodel back there? What's going on back there? You put some new figures?
You got paneling?
Is that a Mick Foley t-shirt you got on there?
Yo, I hear a sink running.
That's right.
Is that your refrigerator running?
You better go catch it, Tony.
Hope you don't got Prince Albert in a can. You better let him out.
All right, so I think we've covered this enough, right?
Oh, fuck, I hope so.
Yeah, more than I thought we were going to.
Yeah, right. I kind of...
Look, at the end of the day, just be a fucking decent human being. It's not that hard.
Oh, it's hard for a lot of people.
It shouldn't be.
You're right. It shouldn't be.
Keep your fucking dick in your drawers. Stop harassing people. If you can't get laid, that's your own fucking problem.
Don't push your mother.
I don't push my mother-in-law anywhere. Go on the internet. Buy a fake pussy and fuck that. You'll be much happier, okay?
Come on, dude.
What?
Really? Really?
Dude, if you're so hard up that you're fucking hitting on, you're trying to fucking hook up with kids... Like, you're a fucking 30-year-old man, and you're, like, hitting up, like, 15, 16-year-old kids, like, at some point, you got to, when you go in the bathroom and you look in the mirror, you got to be like, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
And by the way, guys, let me give advice to the guys, too. There's nothing wrong with older women. My wife's an older woman.
Right, like when I smash my heart rate monitor, I look at myself in the mirror. I go, what the fuck is wrong with me? And there's like a moment 80, of
clarity. That's 80 chickens.
That's a lot of ducats. That's a lot of coup de grace in the backyard there. All right, that's a lot of fucking fence I'm wasting here.
Coup de grace.
Ross, what a dick.
All right, you gotta fucking, I don't know, man. Just fucking, you're not God's gift to women. You're not God's gift to wrestling. You're
Isn't Coup de Gras a pitcher on the Mets?
I mean, the way this baseball season's going, he might be.
Jason Coup de Gras?
Hey, look, I don't follow MLB. I don't give a shit about baseball or any of these other fucking things.
Oh, so you're going to fucking chime
in
on something you don't know anything about either now, are you?
You, because you're the baseball fan, you would know the answer to this, you dick. I'm not coming to you with some fucking like information that I got from a friend of a friend. Is
you don't have friends.
Is baseball not happening this year? I hear people crying everywhere that baseball fucked it all up.
I personally don't think it's going to happen because
I think the NBA is back. I know the NHL is coming back. I heard
they all have their issues too.
Every league has got issues.
Yeah, but NBA, I heard, is going to be playing at Disney. They're going to have all their games down there.
Sure, but you're inviting 22 teams, and a bunch of them have to play 8 games to see if they're allowed to even go and play in the playoffs, which means a bunch of teams have to leave, and a bunch of the other teams are like, this is stupid. We're not going to quarantine in a bubble for 3 months. If we're just going to lose in the first round, then we have to fucking stay here.
And now the issue is that the people that work at the resort don't have to be quarantined. So, like, they'll be coming in and out of the bubble while the NBA play, like, so who knows what they can contract on the outside.
What's the average NBA player get fucking paid?
$7. And
for your $7, sit in a fucking bubble for 3 months and shut your mouth. These fucking rich millionaire cocksuckers can't spend 90 days out of a fucking year doing jobs.
Well, to be fair, the NBA issue isn't about money. The baseball issue is about money.
Well, fuck them too.
Right.
They should all get paid.
The NBA issue is about them being stuck in a bubble for 3 months.
Fuck that. Didn't Jake Gyllenhaal do it in some fucking movie? Didn't John Travolta do it in some movie?
Paulie Shore did it in Biodome.
Yeah, something about Mary, Tony.
Oh, it was some other fucking, the bubble boy, where they fucking rolled him down the hill. It was Jake Gyllenhaal, wasn't it?
Well, the original was John Travolta, and I don't know if the remake had Jake Gyllenhaal in it. But he was in a bubble.
He was in a bubble
because he was like dying.
Yeah, so just pretend you're dying for 3 months and then you're cured. It's fine. If I was getting paid millions of dollars a year to fucking put a ball in a hoop, I'd fucking stay in a bubble for 3 months. Are you fucking kidding me? It's a small price to pay for your fucking job, dude. Why am I taking a bubble by?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was Jake Gyllenhaal, you fuck. 2001,
I don't
Bubble
know.
Boy.
I didn't see that. Wasn't there like a comedy Bubble Boy?
Bubble Boy was in Seinfeld, too. And then it was a real kid. It was a real thing. Like, this kid lived in a bubble.
Yeah, the John Travolta movie was based off of that. Wasn't the Jake Gyllenhaal one like a comedy thing?
Yeah, it was.
I think Beetlejuice was in it, not fucking Michael Keaton, the fucking real Beetlejuice.
Oh, Jesus, no one cares.
Art Barr?
Yes. He was another guy that got in trouble, didn't he?
Yeah, Art Barr was. Look, we had that list that we read. Apparently, everyone that ever worked in Mexico peed on Lita, so whatever. She was into it. Her and Carmella. Everyone's peeing on them.
PETA.
And look, if you like to get peed on, good for you. That's fucking great.
Nobody gets. Who gets peed on anymore? That shit was big for like 6 months, 10 years ago. Nobody fucking.
R. Kelly.
Yeah, he's going to jail, isn't he? Isn't he in jail now? He's in custody somewhere? They let him out because of the COVID. They were doing that shit too, you know. They were letting fucking rapists and murderers free, but then they were fucking arresting protesters and people not wearing a fucking mask.
That's nice to know they all went to their local independent wrestling promotion and raped and molested a bunch of people.
Hi-yo!
Fucking awfulness.
Talk about your Hell in a Cell.
Right?
I'm on fire, boys.
Where?
Two good things running behind you.
Where do you guys want to go from here? Where do we want to? What do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk? Do you want to talk WWE? You want to talk about NXT? You want to talk about MLW? Where do we want to go, boys?
Let's go right into your wheelhouse, pal.
I wanted to do MLW real quick before I go get a beverage. Okay. Take 5 minutes.
I will not lie. I did not get a chance to watch this episode of MLW, The Extreme Horseman. I did want to watch it, though, and I still will. I do have the notes of the Pulp Fusion, though. That was at the end. But walk us through this Extreme Horseman, Tony.
The group consisted mostly, it was C.W. Anderson and Simon Diamond and Steve Carino. Eventually, they added P.J. Walker, a.k.a. Just Incredible, a.k.a. Aldo Montoya. And they pretty much ran ruckshod over the MLW in its early days. Steve Carino was the MLW world champion. And Simon Diamond and C.W. Anderson were the MLW tag champs. They had some really weird-looking belts. Like, Steve Carino had the original MLW belt, which sort of looks like the one they have now, so that, like, they kept the design. I think they just changed the logos. But, yeah, like, they were, like, these really old-ass tag belts. But it doesn't matter. So they start – they had two matches, of course. It was Steve Carino in a three-way with Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes. And for some strange reason, they both hated Dusty Rhodes, so they were kind of teaming up for a bit, and then it all fell apart. And then eventually the Horsemen came out, and they bloodied Dusty, and they beat up Terry, and I don't know, it was all over the place, dude. Like, I really have no fucking idea what they were going for. But the second match was fucking War Games, and it was fucking all those guys I mentioned, plus Barry Windham. It was the Sandman. It was like Dr. Death Steve Williams. It was Sabu. Who the fuck was the fourth guy? I can't think of the fourth guy.
It's Terry Funk.
Funk. And then at some point, when Barry Windham came in, Fonzie grabs the mic and he goes, "This is unfair, Daddy. This is 5-on-4. Well, I'm going to get my ass kicked, but I'm going to try to make it 5-on-5. And he fucking takes off his shirt and he climbs in the ring. And then they fucking go to the match beyond. And Fonzie was in there getting the shit kicked out of him. It was fucking awesome, though. Great shit. And, of course, the fucking Extreme one. That was a good fucking match. That was a lot of fun seeing Dr. Death in there. Sandman came out. They did the fucking Enter Sandman intro. He was the first guy in the ring. He was popping the beers and fucking smoking the cigarette. And they had Enter Sandman playing. It was fucking great. Brought back
the Who were the Extreme Horsemen were... Carino, C.W. Anderson, was Simon Kenny?
Yeah, Simon Diamond, and then eventually P.J. Walker joined him.
I thought Doring was there, too.
No, it wasn't Doring. It was Simon Diamond. I thought it was Doring at first, too, but no, it wasn't him.
Swinger wasn't ever in it? Johnny Swinger?
Well, he wasn't in this episode. These were the guys that they based the episode around.
I love the idea of the Extreme Horseman gimmick. I'd love that gimmick.
Oh, and fucking Terry Funk won for his team with the fucking, was it the step over toe hold? He made fucking Steve Carino submit. So that was a great fucking finish. And fucking, dude, Fonzie getting in there going, "I'm going to try." The fucking place went nuts for him.
Yeah, and CW just announced his retirement, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. A couple days ago, he posted up that video.
That's wild. He had a good career, though. Good fucking run.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, overall this week, it was a decent episode. The first match you could fucking wipe your ass with, but the War Games and the match beyond, good shit, man. Good old school shit. It was a lot of fun.
And
MLW still have the trademark for any of that? Or do they call it the match beyond?
Yeah, they said match beyond. Yeah, they did. But this was like 2004 or 3, I want to say. You know, this is like almost 20 years ago, so.
Yeah, but I think they still do it, though, don't they?
The last one they did with the Von Erichs.
It was a single ring, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's the last usage they get out of that. I could be wrong.
Because I know, like, NXT has War Games, obviously. AEW is going to be doing Blood and Guts, right, at some point soon. And MLW has the Match Beyond, I believe. But you might be right, Matt, in terms of that being the last one they're able to do.
Yeah, Cody's pretty on when those trademarks and such come up, copyrights. He's on top of that shit.
Matt, did you ever get the refund for the AEW tickets, or are you gonna try to keep them until the February show if that happens?
I still have the tickets, and they are good for February 20 whatever. So,
So we could just show up with those tickets.
The ticket, if you purchase tickets for the April show that were supposed to be redeemable in July, are still good for February.
Good to know.
Hey Matt, I got a little this and that from Fightful.com from back in February of last year. It said that PW Insider reported WWE had come to an agreement with Major League Wrestling for the rights and trademarks to the War Games match. And it says that WWE had never claimed the rights to the match, which left it up for grabs, and MLW used the name in 2003 for the bout between the Extreme Horsemen and the Funkin' Army. So it seems like that was the only time they used it. They might have called it the War Chamber, maybe. Oh, no, here.
MLW You're right.
presented War Games in September of 2018, and WWE held their first one in November, so 2 months later. So that last one in September 2018 was probably the one with the Von Erichs and Low-Key and Tom Lawler. By the way, just a quick aside on Tom Lawler. Apparently, he's going to be involved in some tournament with New Japan next month or maybe in August.
Wasn't he on that morning show, Matt? Wasn't he on that?
He will be part of the new New Japan show that will run on... Lion's Break is what it's called.
That's what it's called, yes.
And the first episode will be July 3rd. Coughlin against Karners. Jeff Cobb, Rocky Romero against TJP and Carl Fredrickson. And Tom Lawler is involved, too. That was those tapings that had happened right after they announced that New Japan was coming back. So that's going to be like a weekly show. And I think it will be every Friday night, I want to say. Yes, Friday. July 3rd is a Friday because the 4th of July is a Saturday. So it'll be every Friday night starting July 3rd. Excuse me.
Jesus, you all right tonight?
Yeah, just crushing a couple of these orange original sins. What else?
There was another segue that I wanted to touch on before we dive deep in.
Tony, any of this MLW? Sorry, Kevin. Any of this stuff from Pulp Fusion? Any of it tickle your fancy? Anything we need to know about?
Yes, Alexander Hammerstone could fucking knock out a guitar solo on his fucking United States shaped, fucking American flag painted guitar. How awesome was that shit? And then he drinks his dynastic coffee and he's fucking doing reps and all of a sudden he's rocking out with a solo. That was some good shit, man. Hammerstone's got fucking money written all over him.
That's a big boy right there.
Oh, yeah, he is. The fucking meat castle. Absolutely.
He should be the face of MLW.
Absolutely.
He posts a lot. He's been posting a lot of him shredding on the social media lately.
I think a couple of weeks ago when he sort of had his meltdown, he might be making a conscious effort to bring a little something different to social media rather than all the bullshit that's been going on. And I commend him for it. It's entertaining. I fucking love all the shit that he's doing.
Big Hammerstone guy.
Are we still fucking going ahead with this awful Low-Key King Mo feud?
Oh, yeah. They're going to fight. Ugh. Low-Key was speaking in Japanese and King Mo was making fun of him.
Oh, that's not racist or anything.
He's going, what are you speaking, Portuguese?
I fucking hate King Mo. I don't understand it. It's not even like there's crossover appeal there. Nobody gives a shit about King Mo. Seriously. Fuck
Dan
King
Lambert
Mo.
Loves King Mo.
Fuck him, too. They suck. You suck, King Mo. Tell a friend. MMA world, different story. Pro wrestling, you're fucking hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
Hey, Tony. What do birds in Lisbon speak? What language?
Pigeonese?
Portuguese. Portuguese. Honk. Matt, Portuguese. Anyone in the Discord? Anyone on a hot mic? Portuguese. Birds in Lisbon speak Portuguese. And in Brazil, too, a little bit.
Oh, Brazil. Nice. I like that.
Yeah. They're nuts over there.
Brazil nuts?
All right. I got to stop. I quit.
We lost Tony. Oh, he's back.
I walked. See, that's what we call the comedy business, walking the room. When you tell a joke so awful, people get up and leave. It's called walking the room, and that's what I just did.
Why, Matt got up too?
No, but he went silent. He went
I muted my mic.
He went radio. But he laughed, though. He laughed.
I did.
No one heard it.
Visually.
I was howling when I left the room to go get
See, people need to hear that.
No. It's funnier when they don't know we're laughing.
That's a good point.
To put a little bow on, I know we are done with the speaking out thing, but Bar Wrestling, the promotion that Joey Ryan was running, is essentially closed. So,
good oh, yeah, definitely 100% closed, yes.
Yeah, because they lost the lease on the building. They lost the venue.
Yeah, did he molest that too? Fucking piece of shit.
Candace LeRae put out a statement too that she's fucking mortified, never condone such horrible actions, zero tolerance, you know.
Who put that out?
Candace LeRae.
Oh, I would hope she would never condone that.
Well, I mean, I'm stating the obvious, of course, but, you know, just to put the icing on the Joey Ryan cake.
Tony, let me ask you a question with this MLW shit, all right?
Ooh,
They're going hard with this Mance Warner's building this cage. He was on the phone with Dirty Dutch Mantel this week.
I'm building the cage.
Conrad has a big man crush on Mance Warner.
And, he said that he worked with Dirty Dutch in Puerto Rico, like, in the 80s. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Maybe he's got a time machine.
You think it was funny? I thought it was funny.
I didn't see it. I have it in my notes. I copied and pasted, so I was just asking you.
Yeah, he fucking was losing his mind. I think the quarantine's getting to him.
It is nice to see that Selena De La Renta is back on TV, though.
She's back, but you don't know what she's going to do.
And you never know what she's going to do. And I like that Logan Creed is going to get a little bit of a push. I enjoyed him when I saw him at the Philadelphia
tapings. He made an appearance. He was like grunting that he was angry about something. But, let me tell you what Selena did, right?
Yo.
Hey, the Renta?
She took her shoes. I can't get up again. She took her shoes off and she was like, Kevin!
skeevy bastard.
We are a visual podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for watching along on the hot mic.
Gross.
We are chopping it up here on the hot mic.
Chopping it up, baby.
What am I doing here? Oh, that's what
I don't know. What are you doing? What do you want to talk about next? I don't know.
So is Selena back in her the role that she was in before? Is she still leading that group, or is she like a commissioner, or what is she?
We don't know. She's just back.
Oh, good.
Better than ever.
One of our highest rated episodes ever was when we had her on, right?
Damn Skippy.
Yeah, man. Try, baby. It's when you talk about throwing quesadillas at classmates, you got a fucking winner.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
That was a great episode. I think Kate was studio with us for that one, wasn't she?
She was. She was indeed.
KTG.
Good times. All right, what do we got next? Come on, what do we got? We talking Japan? We talking New Japan? We talking Old Japan?
Let's go there. Let's go to the land of the rising sun, shall we?
Yes.
Matt, how pumped are you that you got your New Japan back?
I fucking love it. I love every single bit of it. Now,
let me say something real quick before we get hold that thought. I watched a lot of the couple days of the New Japan Cup. And for some reason, New Japan doesn't seem like it loses a step without fans there to me. Is it because the fans are traditionally more quiet anyway, except for big moments? But to me, like, I was watching it, I'm like, this is good first, and it's not normal.
Yeah, I think they'll do fine without the fans. I think the fans, first of all, props to the announcers, because the announcers do a phenomenal job really selling the shit out of what's going on in the ring. But yeah, to Kevin's point, the fans are traditionally a little more quiet. Yes, they will. You know, like during the Suzuki Nagata match, they would have been going fucking ape shit. And then like
that
even like
a good match.
If you watch like the 8-man tags, like the hot tags where you're like waiting for Tanahashi to get in there against Tai Chi, like when Tanahashi finally gets tagged in, like the crowd would pop. Like it's, you know, and there's some matches, like I feel like the Gabriel Kidd Taji Ishimori match that started off night two. I think if that was in front of a crowd, I think you would have felt the energy a little more. The match wasn't bad, but yeah. I think there's you know, just like all wrestling.
I feel like New Japan always has that roar that's like right ready to pop up, and then when it does, it does. But you always feel like they're waiting for something awesome to happen and that to make their voices heard. It's not like American wrestling with WWE where chants break out for no reason or anything like that. So you always, there's that dull roar that's always there and you're just waiting for it to go nuts. So yeah, there was that little element of it missing, but I thought it didn't, to me, it didn't lose anything without the fans there, especially for my favorite New Japan star, Gabriel Kidd.
This is quite the revelation about your new love for Gabriel Kidd.
Wait, he's your favorite out of all of them?
My favorite. He's the best. He's my guy.
All right.
Fine. I mean, Kevin's getting in on the ground floor. Young lion. He's got a long career ahead of him, so.
And I'm only saying this because I think he picked his name from Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. And I'm going to keep believing that, even if I know it's not true.
See, unlike you, Tony, you jumped on the Tanahashi bandwagon as, you know, he's, you know, we're about a couple weeks away from taking him out back and shooting him behind the shed. So,
stupid idiot,
dude. It took a family of fucking thugs to fucking eliminate my man this week.
I'm also a big Ishii guy. My number one of my top roster guys.
Big Tom. You know,
Big Tom, yeah. Big Tom. Big Tom is a fucking machine, dude. A machine. He looked like $1 million.
Let me ask you this, guys. Since we did the draft, Have you guys thought of like what like your first pay-per-view would look like?
Nope.
No.
I'll tell you this. I fucking saw my man's show come out. I'm like, yo, that's my team, Roppongi Bongi, baby.
What if next week we take our rosters and we formulate like an 8-match card and we just go over it on the show? Rosters that we did.
I'd have to find my roster.
Oh, I got them all written down. We could figure that out. We could do something.
Matt, that's like something I would do.
Well, no, I just we did it, and then there was talk of doing some more stuff, and then that kind of just fell by the wayside. So I clean off my desk once a week, and all the notes go downstairs for the fireplace. So.
Everybody gets excited to keep the momentum going, and then it's like, you know what? It's just a good place for it to stop.
I thought of my top like 3 matches like every day.
That's you, buddy. There's a lot of shit going on. I don't have fucking time to sit around and spend my time doing that nonsense.
Doesn't take a long time.
Sure. I'm not just gonna throw shit. I'm not the WWE. I'm not throwing shit against the wall to see what sticks. I want to have. If I'm gonna do it, I want to make it make sense.
You guys would love the main event.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that fucking ghoul.
Oh, you want to talk about Cornette?
I mean, what's to talk about it? He's a fucking cuck.
I listened to the the drive through whatever fucking episode he put out today, and yeah, he doesn't fucking like this guy that was spilling the beans. However, he admits that him and his wife like to have fun. And he also said that over the years of their relationship, it's probably about 50-50 about who gets to have fun. So read into that whatever you want. And he also said absolutely 100% never use the position of power to fucking offer anybody any kind of like progression in their career or a push or a fucking job or anything like that. But he pretty much admitted that him and his wife like to like do different things, although he never elaborated. And he said she gets to do just as much as he does. So
Cornette's just want to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. The way he put it is like, what? We're grown adults. We're not allowed to have fun. Take away from it what you will. That's pretty much his full elaboration on that thing.
Yeah, I don't think the fun was the problem. The problem was using it to put people in awkward positions where if they didn't do it, they wouldn't get Jim Ross's favorite word, a push.
Yeah, but he
gotta get my push.
He said that.
Of course, he's gonna say that's not what fucking happened.
What did you want him to say? Yeah, it did. Like, I don't get it. Don't be so angry, Twitter boy.
I'm not mad. I don't give a shit.
You're such a Cornette defender.
I think it's fucking hysterical that he got, and Joey Janela called him out on it like months ago. Like, sorry, I didn't come in the jacuzzi with you and your wife.
All right. In fairness, you don't think Joey Janela ever ran a train with somebody? Come on. Come on.
Hold on. There's running a train.
Well, how do you know they didn't run a train on Mrs. Coronet?
I don't. But I don't. Well,
so you don't know?
What? Joey's going to leverage you into driving him to your house to do our fucking podcast?
I don't get it.
Jim Cornette was in a position where he decided if you were going to be elevated in the OVW and eventually up to WWE versus you're saying, like, what if Joey never ran a train? Like, what was he going to be like? Oh, if you don't run train with me, you don't get to drive me to the Shining Wizard studio.
My point is, if people are going to do their dirt, they're going to do their dirt. As long as he didn't fucking do it, you know, with offerings of a job or a push or whatever.
Right, but he's not going to say that because he's already on the chopping block.
The chopping block with who? He's self-employed. Who's going to fire him himself? That's he's going to be like, God damn, I'm fired. I didn't fucking do it.
Matt.
Yo.
This is what I wanted to ask you a while ago. I totally forgot, but I remembered because I just saw Tony's shirt. I'm a Dave LaGreca guy. And I saw that, you know, the heart monitor story was pretty upset for you. But apparently someone, a good friend of ours, came to your support.
I don't really know if it was support as much as it was Kate paid him to say some nice things about me.
Did he not know who he was sending the cameo?
No, he knew exactly, because I sent him a text right after I saw it and thanked him.
Have you made that public or no?
I was trying to share with everybody. I texted it to you guys, but I couldn't put it. I'll try and put it up on Facebook later. It's hysterical. It's absolutely hysterical.
You're a handsome guy, man. You're a handsome guy.
I am. And then he says smart and he makes a face like he knows he's lying to himself now.
How much does a Dave LaGreca cameo go for nowadays?
$5.
$7. I don't know.
Hey, you got
minimum NBA salary.
If you got a second, do you mind? I think I got this figured out.
No, not at all.
Wait, here we go.
Hey, Matt.
Can you hear that?
Kate reached out to me. She's a little concerned about you. Very, very upset. Now, Matt, you're my friend, man. We go way back. We have that fun when it comes to professional wrestling. And Kate said you're really upset. You spent $80 on because you're doing the yoga. You're getting yourself back in shape during these tough times during this pandemic. And you went nuts. You went crazy. You're screaming and yelling. Not as good as I do it, but I heard you had your own Matt rant. We're going to call it a Matt rant. I don't know. Maybe you could just contact the seller and get your $80 back. I mean, I don't know. Like, nope. Do it on the weekend, but I digress, Matt. Kate is concerned. And listen, I'm a little pissed off. You're getting yourself shape. This is killing your momentum. It's killing the whole buzz, man. It's bullshit. Listen, dude, let me give you a little pep talk here. Okay. First of all, you don't need any kind of improvement. I mean, you're a physical specimen the way you are. You look fantastic. You're a handsome man. And Kate is lucky to be close to you, to be friends with you. Okay? So, you're a handsome man. You don't need to improve yourself at all. That's just my take. Okay? You're a good dude, man. You're funny. You have personality. You're smart.
He's so reaching.
$80, $90, $100 on a Saturday night drinking. So it's not that big of a deal, man. All right. So relax. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. You're all good, my friend. You're a great guy. And Kate is a great woman. She's fantastic. So the two of you together are like an unstoppable duo. So think of the positives and not the negatives. And you know what? Maybe just return the heart monitor to get your money back. Okay? Not that big of a deal. Love you, brother. Talk to you soon.
Fucking Dave.
So many questions to unravel here.
There are no questions.
You're right. Oh, my God. That was great.
It was hysterical. It got a good rise out of me.
Beautiful. Well, so how does one get, like, do you get, like, an alert? Like, does someone,
if
like,
you,
when you, like, how did you get that?
Kate texted it to me. So what will happen is you will go to Cameo, you will pay, you will correspond with said Cameo person, and they will either email it to you or email it to the person that bought it for you, and then that person can share it with you via text, Facebook, whatever.
Nice.
I got.
That popped me big.
I got one for my wife for Christmas from one of her soap opera stars from when she was a kid, when she used to watch the soap operas. And I got a deal because this woman was $40. I'm like, $40 well spent. Now this woman is $250. Really? So I got it at ground zero and I fucking saved myself a bunch of money.
The stock market.
It's fantastic. Yeah,
it was good, man. It worked out well. Cameo's cool. We should get on Cameo. I fucking get on there and do them for fucking $3. Why not?
All right, do it. Get on it.
Get the fucking studio on a night and just fucking pump them out. Good to go.
Do it, son. Do it.
All right. New Japan, man.
All right. You want to get into it?
Let's do it.
New Japan came back last week, and we talked about the Together Project. It really wasn't anything much, but Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., night one of the New Japan Cup kicked off, and it had been 110-plus days that we have been without New Japan Pro Wrestling. And with all the shit going on, they filled in some gaps, which I do have some complaints about.
Excuse me.
But by and large, I think they have so far hit a home run. The shows are extremely short. I told you guys during text, if you can skip the intros, the eight-man tag, which essentially isn't something you really need to watch, and the intermission. They do an intermission in the middle of the show where dudes in hazmat suits sanitize the whole arena. And yep. While they're doing that, like they have like, you know, fucking NJPWShop.com bullshit, and the Japanese people go over, the Japanese announcers go over the what you saw. Now, Tony, when you watched it, did you see the English version?
I saw the English version for day one and two, but for day three, I watched it this morning, so there was no English commentary yet because it was live.
Right.
You know what weirds me out? They got that one woman broadcaster. She's in the middle of the broadcast team just as a fucking screen.
You got 6 feet, baby. Come on.
But it's weird. Like, it's like a dude, the screen with the woman, another dude, and another dude. It's like, why is she, like away from all these people? Is she, like, not around? Like, is she on the other side of the country? Like, it was just weird.
Yeah, I don't know where her whereabouts are. I know she typically does commentary for the Japanese team, so I don't know if she just wasn't worth bringing her in. They just, you know, thought it'd be cool to put the TV between them.
I don't know. There was no woman on commentary this morning. At least I didn't hear it. There was only like two dudes talking.
Right. Yeah. So. They had the two dudes. The one dude with the Sonata T-shirt on.
Yeah. So that. Yeah. This morning there was no English, which was funny because at some point you'd hear like, not oh no no, like oh my my or something like that. Like they would say shit in English. It would just really fucking crack me up when I would catch it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The fuck. It's when they yelled Sling Blade. I thought it was hysterical.
Oh, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. That was it. I fucking almost fell out of my chair. I'm like, are you serious? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I couldn't
wait. So wait, why would the Japanese commentators say, oh boy, is that like a gimmick? Is that someone's thing?
Maybe. I don't know. I couldn't understand any of the other commentary because it's all in Japanese. But I picked up on the English things, and one of them was definitely, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Now, I didn't have the patience to wait for them to upload the English stuff, but how was the Kevin Kelly stuff?
It was, I like Kevin Kelly.
There's a different energy to Kevin Kelly when he's by himself as opposed to hearing the Japanese guys scream. And I say scream because I don't know the language. I don't know if it's a Mauro Ranallo situation where they're just fucking going 180 miles an hour the entire time or if there's like story behind it, but they do scream a lot. Kevin Kelly does seem to like mellow it out a little bit. He doesn't get nearly as excited as you would, you know, expect during the high stuff.
Well, Kevin Kelly normally doesn't do the commentary by himself, does he?
No.
Usually Don Callis?
No, Rocky Romero's with him, isn't
Rock,
he?
Usually it's Gino Gambino and Chris Charlton.
But he did the ones that I watched, it was just Kevin Kelly.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, yeah, he's the only one doing them for this New Japan Cup.
So night one was our four first round matchups. Togi Makabe take on Yota Tsuji. Toriano took on. What's up?
Yota Tsuji?
Yes.
He's my favorite young lion with his fucking crazy hair and
the beard.
Look. Yeah, dude, I like him. I like him a lot.
Really? He's not my favorite young lion. He's number two for me.
No, I like Gabe Kidd too, but he's this dude's got like the fucking look to go along with it. So like he's got my pick.
Easy, Although, Tony.
Like some Gabe Kidd.
Now, Kevin, I don't want to break your heart. Gabe 3 of the Young Lions on here, number 3 for me.
Really?
It's heartbreaking, guys. Heartbreaking. Who was the guy that Kevin Kelly really put over one Young Lion, but he lost to Cannamoro, maybe?
They all lost, didn't they?
Yes, they all lost. But Cannamoro, the guy that lost to Cannamiora, Yumiura?
Yeah, that guy.
He's my favorite Young Lion.
I like him too.
And don't get me, this is a great class of Young Lions. But he was.
It's weird though because they show up like the fucking guys with the red shirts in Star Trek. Like they're all black. You know they're gonna fucking just get their shit kicked in. But I was impressed. They all looked really good. They all got some shit in and like they had some fire to them.
It was weird the way that Kevin Kelly was putting over Matt's favorite Young Lion. I'm going to butcher his name, so I'm not even going to bother saying it.
I'm going to butcher it too. Umiura?
Yeah, Umiura. Yeah, and Kevin Kelly really liked him to beat Kinemuro, and it was a good match. Solid.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I was watching it at work. Wednesday afternoon, I was getting a little worried about that. I thought they would pull the trigger because they had been gone for so long. And I thought like, oh, you know, with the circumstances, maybe if they throw one like mega upset in, it would be a great way to elevate one of these Young Lions. Thankfully they didn't. So that protected all of our picks. But man, like Togi Makabe and Yoda Tsuji, like they came out, first of all, like the 110 days off, I know it sucks, but it did a lot of good for these guys. Makabe looked awesome. I mean, I don't think he's going to win the thing, but he looked great, and Tsuji got a lot in with him. Makabe beat him with a German suplex at about 9 minutes, so he'll advance. I think I should have talked about this last week with you guys, but I wasn't. Whoa, what was that?
What was that?
I don't know. I wasn't in tune with what was going on. Jado and Gato being in this tournament was the worst fucking thing they could have done.
Yep. 100%. Completely agree with that.
This Toriano-Jado match it might be the worst wrestling match of the year.
You think it's that bad? Really? Oh,
dude, it went 9 minutes. It was 8 minutes too long.
It was that night one?
Yes.
Yeah. It was Kevin, it was the match where the fucking idiot kept taking all the turnbuckle pads off.
All right.
First of all, don't disrespect Yano.
I'm just saying he was an idiot taking the fucking turnbuckle
pads
off.
That's his gimmick.
Would you describe him as a genius taking the turnbuckle pads off? No, he's a fucking idiot. I'm sorry.
He is a trickster and he finds ways to win matches.
Oh, he won. There's no doubt about it. Taking turnbuckle pads off.
That's what Toriano does, bro.
All right, well, fight me. He's an idiot. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm not going to fight you, but this was a terrible, 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 terrible match. It went on for way too long, way too much outside interference. I mean, the referees look stupid. I hated it.
I don't like the Jado Gato thing anymore either. I don't like when they fucking second like Jay White or anybody else. That place shouldn't be their place. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't mind them being in those roles because that's what they've transitioned from full-time wrestlers into managers. And especially with the storyline with Gato and Okada and Jay White, it fits.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about storylines with New Japan, but I enjoyed the Gato Okada match.
Yeah, I just felt Red Shoes was like there. He saw the brass knuckles in his hand. He didn't do anything. Like, that just annoyed me.
Yeah, and it was
Red Shoes, the more I watch Red Shoes, and I know he's like the most respected like referee ever, he's just like, he's weird to me. It's like bizarre.
He's a dipshit. He's a dipshit is what he is.
All right. Tony with the hot takes.
He fucking, and I've talked about this before with him. He does that fucking Dave Hebner fucking like two count and then he fucking swats for the third count. Like you could always tell when he's not going to make the three count. It takes me out of it every time.
Is he worse than the Nick Patrick? I'm going to put my my hand right under your arm and tell you to kick out here?
I love that pinfall, dude. He's always checking the shoulders. That's what you're supposed to do. They used to, the old guys in the garden used to do that shit all the time.
Yeah, but you're supposed to check the shoulders. You're not supposed to lift the guy's arm up.
No, he was fucking, he would slide his hand like under there, like trying to find to see if he could get it.
He lifts every match. He lifts the guy's shoulder up. He lifts it up, Tony.
Well, in fairness, there were a few times where they were counting pins in this fucking show where guys' shoulders were clearly not down. Referees being way out of position. They didn't factor into the final fall, but yeah, some of them look like fucking Slobberino.
Yeah, I do feel like they cut it close a lot with the near falls when they literally, there's no reason for the referee's hand not to hit three at that point. And I noticed that actually more than once with the couple nights
and Red Shoes is notoriously bad for that too. And Okada gets bad fucking kicking out on time as well. He does the Shane Douglas where he fucking just lets that three count simmer and then kicks out.
it's like a pot. He's just letting it simmer.
He just fucking lets it simmer, dude. And it's like sometimes it's like I don't think he fucking got up in time. It's like weird.
All right, I want to bring it back because we're all over this place. Let's talk night one right here. Makabe beat Tsuji. Nobody liked the Yano fucking Jado match. It went on for way too long, but Yano advances. Hiromu Takahashi beat Hanoma, which I thought was a really good match.
Dude, on Mania is running wild. How fucking great is he?
What is that move that he did like 8,000 times? The Kiyokaki? Kiyochichi?
The headbutt?
Yeah, but it's like, I've never heard Kevin Kelly say the same word more than I heard him say it in that match.
I didn't watch the English version. I'd be lying.
The Kiyoshi? Is birthday boy Anthony Russinello or somebody in the chat or something that could tell me? Prince of Pro or something? Kiyokachi?
Yeah, he just keeps fucking dropping his head on everything. It's fucking, it's crazy.
Yeah, but he's doing it from like the top ropes. He's doing it at the guy's back. He's doing Crazy Town USA.
It's his finisher.
Of course he is. It's his fucking finisher. Awesome. I love that match, by the way. That match was good.
That was an awesome match. And Hiromu does the running DVD into the turnbuckle, then he hits the time bomb for the win. They did a sick fucking apron spot, which I know a lot of people know that Hiromu broke his neck. Homa, these Japanese names really fuck me up. It's been a while.
It's so wrong, Matt. You're right.
Honma, he also broke his neck a couple years ago. So, like, to see these guys take these fucking bumps is unbelievable. And this is another guy, Hanoma, this time off, like, Honma. This time off was good for him. This was one of his better matches. I really like this match. Not more than the fucking Big Tom Desperado match, though.
This was a great fucking match, dude. This was great. Big Tom is fucking awesome.
Desperado came correct. That was Danny. That was the voice of reason's pick to win this whole fucking thing.
Yeah, well, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, sorry is right. Big Tom came correct.
It's my guy.
It's a fucking great 20-minute match. Fucking Desperado blocks a brainbuster, and he uses the LS Calero for an awesome near fall, and Ishii hits the vertical drop brainbuster for the pin. Man,
I thought that match could have ended like six times with Ishii getting the win like each time.
What a fucking match. And it sets up a great second round. Ishii and Makabe, and then Hiromu and Yano. And I'm really, I mean, people are kind of on the fence because usually the New Japan Cup is all this heavyweight stuff. It's all the heavyweights. They're not bringing the junior weights in or the juniors in. And I'm sticking to my guns. I think Hiromu's winning this thing. I really think they want to give us Hiromi Naito because that's the match they were supposed to give us at our 70th anniversary show.
He's the champion?
He's the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, yes.
Yeah, that was a good match.
And people are like, oh, he's got to run through all these heavyweights. Look, no disrespect to Yano. I know his shtick, and that's all this is, a shtick. I never look at Yano as a heavyweight. Up until last year, I was super frustrated that he always got into the G1, but he was highly entertaining last year. But I think, you know, I think your semifinal match in this bracket is Hiromu and Big Tom. And if Hiromu can beat Big Tom, I think that's... That's huge for him. That might set him up against Okada in the semifinals. I mean, who knows? But I think they really want to give us Hiromu and Naito at Dominion.
And that is the winner of the cup goes to Dominion to face Naito, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they seem, at least Kevin Kelly seemed to be really behind that guy. I can't say that I remember a whole lot of his stuff. I'm sure I've seen him a million times, but he's super charismatic. He's super awesome. And Kevin Kelly made the point about how juniors don't necessarily enter this tournament, and he did, and he got a. That was one of the matches. That's probably one of the matches that paid the most attention to. It was a good match. I liked it.
Yeah, they did a good job. On to night two.
Naito.
Your boy Gabriel Kidd lost to Taji Ishimori in the first match, about 9 minutes.
Disgraceful.
Great showing.
Great showing, absolutely.
But Ishimori threw him in the yes lock, and then he tapped. Kanemaru beat Yuya Uemura in almost 10 minutes. Another great match. Really good match, actually. I really like this. I thought Kanemaru gave him a lot. And I think you got to see what Kanemaru brings to the table. He is was a great champion in Pro Wrestling Noah, and he's kind of just been in this tag team with El Desperado in New Japan. And this sets up him against Taji Ishimori in the second round, and there's a history there where Kanemaru has always beaten Ishimori. So
what is Ishimori? Because I think the guy looks like it's probably a guy that I've seen before, but with the layoff and not watching New Japan all that much, I think Ishimori is a stud. Is that just me?
No,
I think he could be like a superstar if he's not already.
He did his time. He did Excursion, and he worked at Impact a lot. I think he was an X Division champion in the last couple of years. Then he came back, and now he's the Bone Soldier.
He was the Bone Soldier. All right, there we go.
Oh, grah.
No, I know. I remember that was a big deal I like that. No, I'm happy now. I know a little bit more about New Japan than I thought I did.
So Ishimori and Kanemaru in the second round. Ishimori's looking for his first ever victory against Kanemaru. The next match, I thought this should have been the main event of night two. Yuji Nagata and Minoru Suzuki.
Hey, you know what's great about this match? These guys faced off against each other in the eight-man the first night, and then they faced off again in the eight-man yesterday or this morning. So these guys have been beating the shit out of each other this entire tournament. It's fucking great. I love the shit out of this match.
Easy
match of the tournament so far. Easily.
Really?
You don't think?
Big Tom and El Desperado was really fucking good, man.
I enjoyed the shit out of this dude. They didn't fucking care. They were headbutting the shit out of each other, smacking the shit out of each other, knocking each other out, throwing shit at each other. It was fucking great, dude. These two old motherfuckers beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, they did. There wasn't a lot of wrestling in this match.
No, but it didn't have to be. They fucking told a great story. It was just fucking, like, just hatred for each other. And they're like, come on, hit me, fucking calling each other out and shit. It was fucking beautiful. I loved it.
I was very shocked with the finish.
Yeah, right?
It came out of nowhere.
I didn't think Nagata was going to win this one either.
Either did I. And this sets up Nagata and Okada, and it'll only be the second time they faced each other.
You said
it. That was a cue for you.
I just said it. Fucking Gato, this next match needs to Gato the fuck out of New Japan. This was fucking bad, dude.
I liked it.
Hiding brass knuckles and hiding fucking other shit. Come on.
I'm with you, man. I also did not.
Yeah, dude. Not only that, Okada was on the fucking top of the mountain at the beginning of the year going into Wrestle Kingdom. Now he's fucking jobbing to a fucking wrench to the belly. It's like, come on.
What is Gato supposed to do?
Fucking hide, dude. This is Okada he's in the ring with.
I mean, I get the story they tried to tell. I don't think it should have been a main event, and I don't think it should have been almost 16 minutes.
Fucking Okada, if he was smart, would have had to come back like 5 minutes in, and that would have been it.
I wish they would have put fucking Doki in this tournament. They use him in the fucking eight man this morning. He was part of the post match beatdown at the end of the show. Like, at least you know what you got with Doki. He was thrown into the Super J Cup last year, and he did okay. And he's improved. Like, put him in instead of Jado or Gato. Like, I couldn't do. I'm not even going to lie. The Okada Gato match, I fast forwarded through 90% of it.
I liked it because it's not. When I think New Japan, again, I don't watch as much as you, Matt. When I think New Japan, I don't think of matches like this. Like, it's more of like you said, a story and like more of like bells and whistles as opposed to actual in-ring work, which is kind of why I guess maybe I gravitate to that a little bit. So I like this story, and I remember Gato's involvement in a lot of things. So I'd rather him like do like the gimmicks and do like the bells and whistles as opposed to just running and hide all the whole time. I thought it would look good. And Gato actually reminded me of what Gato was at one point.
Yeah, I just felt like it shouldn't have been so long. Like, I felt like
it was
too long.
That didn't seem that long.
Well, if you enjoy the storytelling in the ring, Kevin, night three is your night, brother.
Tonight!
This night hit a fucking home run. They opened, like Tony said, with the 8-man tag match, which is usually something they put in the middle to break things up.
It was really strange that they did that.
Yeah, I was surprised. I put it on, and I was folding laundry, and they were going, they do the card rundown. I was like, holy shit, you're going to open with this? So they do an 8-man whatever, which is if you've watched New Japan, you know these are like throwaway matches.
Yeah, but they're fun. Like, they're, yes. I got a kick out of all three of them. There was nothing really terrible in any of them.
And then you start the tournament, Sonata and Taguchi.
I like this match a lot. I really enjoyed this shit. Taguchi held his own, and he was trying in the beginning with Sonata to do the fist thing, and then he fucking caught him, and he tried to do the fucking tie him up thing, and he put him down, and Sonata clearly wasn't tied up, and he's just fucking sitting there biding his time. He's like, all right, you motherfucker, I'm going to get you. And then he tied up Taguchi, and he fucking sat on him, and Taguchi couldn't get out. That was good shit, man. And
Taguchi's the rugby guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the guy that wears the fucking weird green tights. I always fucking think of him as like Misawa with like a fucking bone deficiency or something.
Yeah, he is not Misawa.
No, he's definitely not. But his fucking tights look exactly the same. Like they got that look that Misawa used to have. But I love this match, dude. Matter of fact, this card up in, of like top to bottom, fucking awesome all across the board. I love the whole. I love the shit out of this card.
Well, I mean, it was fucking stacked.
Yeah.
Stacked.
Was that by design, Matt?
I don't know if it's by design, but if it is, they fucking hit a home run with it, man. Sonata beat Taguchi with a Japanese clutch. And you notice through this, you're not seeing a lot of people use their designated finishers to advance, which is always fun.
Yes.
So it's not that formulaic, like, oh, they can only win with their finisher. It's this, you know, anything can happen because this is a tournament. This next match.
It was most obvious with what the hell's his name? Okada. I was waiting. I'm like, how's it going to look when he fucking does this and there's nobody in the crowd, you know? And then he fucking didn't do it. Didn't he fucking put some sort of like choke on him or something?
It's called Deep in Debt.
There you go.
Because
couldn't cash that fucking check.
We can relate.
This next match was, man, fucking Show and Shingo. Holy shit.
I'm excited.
This fucking match fucking ate up everything else, man. They put on a fucking clinic, these two.
I'm going to watch it after the pod. I think I'm going to watch night three.
It's fucking awesome, Kev. It's a fucking home run. I really... I've picked this match with my heart, and I shouldn't have.
Oh, yeah.
I should have known better. But Sho beat Shingo. So not only does Sho advance, but down the road, or probably at Dominion, you'll see Shingo and Sho again for the NEVER Openweight Championship, which Shingo holds. I can't find the words to explain how awesome this match was.
I'm pumped. Did we all pick Shingo to win?
No, Tony took Show.
Because I'm the Japanese expert, bitches.
You made a couple.
Roppongi Bungi.
You made a couple questionable picks early in night one, though, Tony. So.
Oh, of course I did. I know I ate my shit on a lot of them.
You didn't eat your shit. Nobody ate their shit. Relax.
You know what, though? I don't give a fuck about the picks because I had a fucking great time watching this shit. I'm like, I don't even remember who I picked for half these things. So I was like, fuck it. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. Fuck the picks.
we did our inner show hit Shock and Arrow for the pin, which is an awesome finishing move. We go to intermission. We come back with Ibushi and Zack Sabre.
Another fucking great match. Another great match.
The story to this is that Ibushi cannot beat Zack Sabre in these tournament style matches.
But
it was not Zack Sabre Jr.'s night.
Of course it wasn't, because he's a fucking weirdo.
That's my dear good friend Zack Sabre Jr. you're talking about.
I mean,
you know, I love this kind of match where it's like the fucking mat work and Ibushi's trying to figure out a way to get out of everything and try to get a step ahead of Zack, and he couldn't fucking do it for the longest time. Good stuff here, man. Good stuff.
If you ever wanted to start a spinoff podcast, you could call it Mat Work.
Ah, there you go. It's never too late.
Dude, you can talk about everything. Talk about the restaurant business, talk about wrestling, talk about everything. It works. Mat Work.
Ibushi hit Kamigoya for the win. He pinned Sabre, so he advanced to the second round to face the winner of the main event, Taichi, against Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Tony's waiting to say it.
I'm gonna say this, and this is not something I usually say. Tanahashi was amazing.
Do you think it was a little weird that he
Tony's like, hold my beer
so long in the beginning?
I'm sorry?
He was knocked out for so long in the beginning. Like, I thought, like, oh man, are they just gonna fucking count him out? Like, it took forever for him to fucking finally start coming around.
You gotta build, man. Build for the fans.
I know, but what fans?
Us fans there. Watching.
It was just weird. I feel like they could have chopped a minute or two out of the selling of the fucking powerbomb. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it was an unexpected powerbomb.
Oh, I get it. It probably would have floored me for a loop, but I'm no Tanahashi. You know what I'm saying? He's got to get up from that shit.
He was wearing he had the belt on, too. I'm sure that hurt his little back.
And they attacked his knee on night one during the eight-man, didn't they?
Yeah,
weren't
they
working his leg?
Yeah, they were.
Well, there you go. Fucking Taichi. That fucking sneaky shit winds up getting a win over Tanahashi.
I fucking loved everything about this match. I love Taichi. I was not a big fan until his G1 performance. And I might be doing that thing where I overthink everything, but Taichi did beat Naito at the G1. I don't see Taichi getting past this next round. Although he will, no, he's got Ibushi now.
He's got Ibushi, yeah.
So it's Show against Sonata and Ibushi against Taichi.
All right. So for us noobs and us not familiar, explain why Taichi. You don't think?
I just in this bracket with Show and Sonata and Ibushi. I just don't see him beating Ibushi. You know, crazier things have happened. It would just be a very unexpected push for Taichi. And I thought they were going to push him at the Wrestle Kingdom because I thought he was taking over Suzuki-gun, but I was wrong about that. I don't know. I just don't see. I mean, look, this match was awesome. He hit an axe bomb. He hit a jumping high knee, hit the super kick. Black Mephisto, and he got a clean fucking pin. Yes, Doki was out there, and he kind of got involved a little bit, but that's why you run in a click. I just don't see him getting... shit. I don't know. I might have to think. I might have to think on him and Ibushi.
Matt's-
oh boy.
The problem is they're all tagged. They're all tangled up with the tag titles. Golden Ace is the tag team champions, and I think they're called Danger Tekken. I think that is what Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. are called.
Oh, them? Yeah, fuck them. Who cares?
I'm just, there's a lot of moving parts. We saw it at the end of the match. Post-match, Tanahashi gets the old beatdown. Doki helps him, and then Ibushi comes out, and then Ibushi gets the beatdown. It'll be interesting to see where we go. I don't know. One of them is going to, I hope New Japan doesn't do some weird schmoz thing with Ibushi and, Taichi, but I think you're going to see the Golden Ace against the Tekken Danger, whatever the fuck they're calling themselves, at Dominion. So I don't see – whoever wins this match is definitely losing to Sonata in the semifinals. Because I think we're going all LIJ final. I think you're going to get Sonata against Hiromu. Yeah, Sonata against Hiromu. What's the face Tony. For, Tony?
Oh, it's weird.
Why is it weird?
What about Big Tom?
I think Hiromu's going to beat Big Tom.
What about Yuji Nagata? What about Ibushi? What about Sho? Fucking Sho had a great showing, if I do say so.
Well,
he did. I don't think he's getting past Sonata.
What if we get a Sho and Yo fucking Final Four, huh?
Nah, Yo, come on, man.
Yo
is, I'm sorry. Yo is.
Yo, it's Grand Dame.
I mean, Yo might beat Bushi. That's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, toss these nuts.
That's a toss-up. So after 3 nights of the New Japan Cup.
Wait. Oh, hold on. There we go.
Thank you. After 3 nights of the New Japan Cup, I have a 10-2 record.
Of course you do, you fucking cheater.
How am I a cheater?
Fucking cheater.
What? You know what? If you didn't listen to me, you would have picked Tanahashi, just an FYI.
I would have who?
You would have picked Tanahashi if you didn't listen to me.
All right, so what's your point? Keep
Don't
going.
Call me a fucking cheater, because I didn't cheat.
Cheater.
All right, I went 10-2, okay?
Uh-huh, for you. So you took the lead. Good.
Well, you went 9-3, so I think we're tied.
Oh, stick it up your ass. There you go.
Kevin went 8-4.
Kevin still sucks.
So we have.
Should I take Gabriel Kidd to win a match?
You didn't. But we lost on Shingo. We all lost on Shingo. No, excuse me. Me and Kevin lost on Shingo. We all lost on Suzuki. And then you guys had some weird first round picks. I don't have it pulled up, so I apologize.
I think I took Desperado. I'm not 100% sure.
I think I took Desperado and Jado. I think. Against,
no, I
didn't
take Jado.
One of you guys took Jado against Toriyama.
I think I took Jado.
And I took, who the fuck was it? I didn't take Yuji Nagata. I think I took Minoru Suzuki.
Yes.
I think that might have.
So did I.
Hold on, let's see. I'm going to open it and hope the computer doesn't crash.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. We got a lot more to cover.
Yeah, it's open now.
It's all right.
Hold on.
We got the daily Kev.
Yeah, I got to take a leak, too. Tony, you took El Desperado, and you took Jado.
Why did I take Jado? Oh, because fucking Yano, whatever.
Right. Kevin took Jado. He took Suzuki. He took Zack Sabre Jr.
Ooh.
My dear good friend, Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, so that's where we are on that. Night 4 is tonight or this morning at 6 a.m., and then round 2 will kick off Wednesday at 6 a.m. Do we want to make those picks now, or do we want to wait and see what happens?
How about we wait and see, because I do want to get to some stuff while you're going to get a drink. And
I got
to
take a leak, actually. I don't have to get a drink.
Or whatever, but we got some other shit that we have to cover, too, don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, to do the exact opposite of take a drink.
No.
T-Donk, what you got, brother?
Did he go take a drink? I'm sorry, I'm pulling up fucking 400 windows here. You know what I got, Kevin? Kevin, if you were not part of the Shining Wizards, but I told you there was a way that you could support the Shining Wizards for as little as $1, would you think I'm fucking Looney Tunes?
I mean, I think you're Looney Tunes because I am a part of the Shining Wizards.
Fair enough, but if you weren't, and it only cost you $1 to become part of the action, wouldn't you want in on that?
And full disclosure, I only pay $1, and so yes, I would want in on that, Tony.
Well, Kev, for as little as $1, you can join us on patreon.com/wizardspodcast. You will become a producer of the show. But, Kev, that's not all. If
what?
You can't lecture ducats, you can get not only a 10% discount code for prowrestlingtees.com for our store, but you can get access to our library of Patreon watch-alongs exclusive to the Patreon supporters. You could get yourself a little plug ski every week. We'll plug whatever shit you got to plug. You can also get boxes of wizardry. That's right. The more you kick, the more you save, the more good shit you get. Head on over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Don't forget to support us. Like I said, folks, it's as little as a dollar. You're coming out of your quarantine shells now. You go, shit, I got this fucking check that I got from the government. I don't know what the fuck to do with it. Kick a couple bucks to your boys. It's a good time.
Are we getting another one of those?
Another check? Who cares? If you do get one, though, fucking send it on over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. We'll send you shit for sending us a couple of bucks, and we'll thank you every fucking week. Like the following people are Patreon producers. We'd like to thank Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. We'd like to thank Manny Crozzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. We want to thank the AOP of the SWP, Danny Anthony Russinello. There are DDPY buddies as well. fucking join us on the Discord. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Happy birthday, Anthony. You're Mark.
Ryan Arthur, the Dark Helmet, over at the Elementary Brewing Company, elementary.com. You want beer? You live at or near Hackensack? They don't deliver to you. You can fucking pop in and have a drink with Ryan. Tell him the fucking Wizard sent you. He'll give you absolutely nothing. We got the Shawns, Sean Toe and Sean Kaleo. Sean fucking Kaleo's halfway around the world. That motherfucker's joining us in the fucking Discord each and every day. Speaking of each and every day, what do you hear? What do you say? It's Brett Simonello. He supports us too. The Ultimate Horrier, Benjamin Martinez. Kate Hensler, Kate the Great. She's at On Deck IC. You need podcast music. You need polishing for your shit. You need to sell anything and everything. Kate, your fucking gal. She'll sell it for you. We got our Mats. Matt Garifo, no relation to Kevin. We got Matt Mellinger, definitely no relation to Kevin. We got Christine Friesendorf. She's the other half of the fucking killer sign girls. Mark Parolini, who celebrated a birthday fucking years ago. Happy birthday, Mark. Kenny Hossie, the Scotch drinks more. I don't know what the fuck he's celebrating, but he's always fucking drinking. Big Cop of Pump, Jay Cop, our fucking favorite member of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Mr. Motspock himself, Thomas Copps, another favorite of ours. Mr. Michael Hammond, he's a fucking good guy, but he'll fucking bite you on the feet like Kevin Sullivan. Don't get too close. Hey, it's David Henry Bauer III and his buddy Antonio Hossaman. He's making fucking crazy-ass fucking music, which I'm a fan of. And you want to become a fan, too, go over to Harvestman Records at Bandcamp.com. Mr. Matthew Birch joins us as well. And last but not least, it's William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I doom?
I tell you, folks, just for $1, you could have a fucking maniac like me read your name each and every week. You could get watch-alongs. You get discount codes. You get everything and anything possible. And you won't get fucking harassed on social media like these other fucking maniacs will. Join us. Patreon over at patreon.com/Shining. Wizards Podcast? Anyway, yeah, that's it. Wizards Podcast. For good times. What do you think of the plug?
I love the plugs. Love the plugs. Always a fan.
I put some energy into the plugs.
I like it. I like it.
Now I have 5,000 windows of everything open over here.
Nice. Let's talk. What do you guys want to talk about next?
You want to talk AEW?
You want to run through a little AEW action?
Yeah, we could do that. Might as well.
How'd you guys feel about Abaddon?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was, dude.
Fan? Really, not a fan?
I don't know what the fuck that was. This is what I don't like about it. Anna Jay comes out. She gets the profile. She gets the promo. Usually you get the profile, the promo. That means big things for you. And then this fucking animal comes out.
Abaddon.
She rolls herself down to the ring. And even the fucking referees cower in the corner. I'm like, what the fuck? I was ready for her head to start spinning around and telling her to fucking her mother sucks cocks in hell. That's how fucking crazy that shit was.
All right. But that's good, no?
No, of course it's good, but it scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah, it did, buddy. Kevin, thoughts on Abaddon?
Is she, like, supposed to be, like... Again, this is another, like, this is one criticism of it. It's like AEW always wants to put out, like, these weird dark characters, just, like, Impact did so long ago with, like, Rosemary and the Bunny and this and that. Is like, how long is this going to last before, like, the longevity runs out in this character?
I don't know. It took The Undertaker 30 years to run out of his longevity, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't like a psychopath, like weird.
But this isn't like some girl that painted like a skull on her face. Like, this is pretty in-depth shit, and it's pretty unknown, you know? Like, she wasn't working the indies unless you lived out in Denver. You had no fucking clue who she was, right?
Well, that's the thing.
Because I didn't know who she was.
I have no idea who she was.
At some point, though, like, is that novelty going to wear off? Like when?
That's what I meant, yeah.
Like, is the crowd, like, going to stop caring after a couple of weeks? Is she going to get tired of putting on 3 hours of fucking makeup for a five-minute match every other week? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it sustainable?
We'll find out. I don't know what the plans are for her or the direction they're going to go. Clearly, they need help in that women's division, though, because it seems like every single woman that goes there is hurt.
Right.
It's hurt.
What, what was the reaction to her in terms of, like, social media-wise?
Oh, people were going fucking crazy for her.
Yeah, I saw a whole bunch of stuff about her. I just didn't see what direction it was, whether people liked it or hated it.
No, people love it. Very positive. I think anytime you can get a what the fuck reaction.
Yeah.
You know,
not like a boogeyman, what the fuck
right,
reaction.
Right,
like
and to
actual,
Tony's
real.
And to Tony's point, I talked about it. I think we talked about it at the Dynamite show on Wednesday nights. You know, you are buying it. We're going to profile Anna Jay. We're talking about her on social media. She's going to wrestle. This is her profile. She's going to be a superstar. You're like, all right, fucking squash match. Let's get it on. Who's she going to fight? And this thing comes out. And I was like, I said on the show, I was in the middle of setting up a tweet. Like, can't wait to see Anna Jay. She could be a really, really big superstar for them. And I like stopped, delete. I have to watch this right now.
She looks like she survived being the middle segment of the human centipede. That's what she looks like, dude. Like she look like she's been through some shit and she's had some shit run through her. That's what she fucking looks like. It's disgusting and horrifying, and I don't know how to feel about it, but it fucking legit scared me, dude. It legit scared me.
I'm gonna make a terrible comparison, but this is what I felt like. This kind of was like match with the Anna Jay. Like, remember when they were doing those weird like Undertaker videos, but you didn't know if it was Undertaker. Everyone thought maybe it was Sting, like not too long ago, finally debuting, and they're like it was like him like at a door or something like that, like at a ranch. And then Undertaker finally debuts, and before he says a word, or not debuts, returns, and before he says a word, Triple H comes right out to set up that. So like you're expecting this one thing, this major moment, and all of a sudden something you didn't expect happens, and it's awesome. So, I mean, this is probably more so than that, but that's what I compare it to.
Yeah, I thought they hit the nail on the head, and the Anna Jay story's not over. The Dark Order came out. They helped her up, so it looks like they're going to start recruiting women, and they planted the seeds for the Colt Cabana stuff. So we'll get to see Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss take on Colt Cabana and Brody Lee this week on Dynamite, so that'll be fun.
Nice.
MJF Billy Gunn had a match. Nothing to write home about. It served its purpose. Tag titles were defended. They kind of furthered the QT Marshall, Ali, Brandy, Dustin story.
That was a hot opening match, too, that tag title match. I enjoyed the shit out of that.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good start.
AEW seems to open a lot of their shows with tag matches.
Watching QT like do like the dives over the top where like – He comes across as like, it's not like perfect where like a Nick or Matt Jackson would dive over the top. Like it's more kind of like a flop, but he just fucking does it. And he just doesn't care. And that's what makes it great.
Yeah, absolutely.
He owns it.
AEW kept a nice tight lid on what they were. Cody was defending the title, but they wouldn't say against two. And then I think Wednesday in the afternoon, they announced it would be an open challenge against somebody who was not in AEW. And I can speak for Tony and probably Kevin, pleasantly surprised seeing Mr. Ricky Starks being that opponent.
The stroke cat. Yeah.
I sent you guys, like, Wednesday night, I sent, like, whoa in all caps. Like, that was the whoa. Like, Ricky Starks was the whoa. Seeing him, the video package was incredible. And his match was good.
He had a great match with Cody. I thought that match was fantastic.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, and it didn't take long for them to sign him. So, in one fell swoop,
stinks for NWA.
I mean, it kind of flew under the radar, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago. He was on Busted Open. He said he's not with NWA anymore. So,
yeah.
And the whole stuff with
Dave. He was a gem for them.
Yeah,
I thought.
No, he absolutely was. And then the whole stuff with Dave Lagana, they've completely stopped. Everything, right? They're not going forward doing anything. They're kind of reevaluating the whole hierarchy, right?
Well, I mean, that like Dave Lagana was the guy behind all the production. So like when you're basing your promotion now around like five or six different podcasts and all this extra content with Carneyland and whatnot, and he's the guy producing all that. Well, now you hit a fucking big bump in the road where you've pretty much lost all that shit. Like, look, I mean, I don't know how tech savvy Nick Aldis or Eli Drake or, you know, any of the ladies are that are involved with the Girl Power. But, you know, you got to have somebody record that shit. You got to have somebody put that shit together. You got to get that produced. And if there's nobody in house to produce it, what are you going to fucking do? You know, what are you going to do? So it might be the best thing for the NWA. They even made an announcement where everybody is quote unquote sort of released until January next year. So they're free to work and do whatever else they want to do. But they're expected to come back, you know, at the beginning of 2021 to try to get things back on track. So who knows what the future is going to hold? It would really suck if the NWA has to go away now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It would be a lot of momentum. I think they overcame the loss of Cornette. I'm hoping that they can get somebody to pick up the slack and overcome this Dave Lagana stuff, because I really fucking think they were onto something nice here, and I've been enjoying the shit out of it. It was like never miss watching for me. I never missed a fucking episode of it, and I'd hate to see it go. I really would, because there's a lot of characters there that I fucking enjoy the shit out of. I enjoy Eli Drake. I like his shit with James Storm. Fucking Tim Storm, I love. Nick Aldis. Zicky Dice, who I fucking couldn't stand when he first came in, and I fucking fell in love with him.
Top five.
There, dude. Even Thunder Rosa and Allison Kay and Marty Bell, like all that shit. I love everything about it. Fucking Trevor Murdoch and Aaron Stevens and the question mark, for God's sakes. There's not a lot wrong with NWA. There's really not.
I think Billy Corgan is very, or William, what do you call him? William Preston.
WPC William, yeah.
I think he's very resourceful, and I think he has a lot of friends and places that could probably handle the load. It's just whether or not they have the wrestling knowledge to go along with the producing and stuff like that. I don't think NWA is going anywhere.
I really hope not. To come this far, to see it all go away because of some fucking stupidity on somebody behind the scenes.
Yeah, and especially when you talk about like the social distancing and stuff, like NWA is set up perfectly for social distancing. It's set up perfectly for that. But if you're talking about that other issue, that's a whole different story, which I don't know how they rebound from that. But in terms of the pandemic, I think they'll be fine.
I hope so.
So Cody successfully retained against Ricky Starks, and they've signed him to a contract. The Bucks beat the Super Bad Squad, and if you listen to our Wednesday Night Dynamite show, not a lot of people happy with this match. It just felt like there was way too much nonsense going on. I don't know if you guys felt the same way.
Is that when the fucking two idiots came out wearing white, the Butcher and the Blade, and then the fucking... FTR came back out. Yeah. I don't know, man. I guess they got to come up with shit to do to kind of further stories, because they're... I get it. They're trying to keep FTR and the Young Bucks apart and build them to this collision course with the Butcher and the Blade. And it sucks now, too, because Jimmy Havoc is on the shelf as well. You know what I'm saying?
I don't... You know what? I'm going to give you a hot take here. I don't think it sucks. I think AEW is way too many tag teams. Like, on paper, I was excited to see Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela, but what are we going to – are they just going to be a fucking job tag team? Like, what are we doing here? Dude, don't forget, there's no Lucha Brothers. Jurassic Express is on Dark. SCU is on Dark. Like, we need to get rid of some of these tag teams.
But are all these tag teams staying together? Like, you look at QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes. You know, they're going to be button heads soon, well, because of this alley shit. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Fucking you just got rid of Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. You're not going to have Lasex Gods for a while. So a lot of these teams are already falling by the wayside through nothing AEW is outwardly doing except for the fucking QT Dustin story. So who knows? And it looks like the fucking champs are eventually going to fall apart anyway, too. Right?
Yeah, but you need to start making... Don't forget, in about 3 weeks, everyone who was released... They can go wherever they want.
So maybe some of this stuff is going to start falling into place.
Right.
Look, I know I shit on a lot of stuff, and I like, you know, the whole Brody Lee thing with him getting thrust into the title picture, and then the whole thing with Brian Cage. But maybe in 3 weeks, this is what we need. We need that shot of everybody coming back to fucking get some sort of semblance of order, where a lot of these makeshift teams are going to start turning on each other. Maybe they get pushed back to Dark. You know, maybe Janela and Sonny Kiss is furthering a story where they're going to fucking beat the hell out of each other. Maybe Sonny Kiss gets pissed off because Joey Janela shows up and he fucks something up. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. But you got 3 weeks to go. Maybe they start pulling this shit apart finally.
Do you remember like months ago when we were talking about how like everyone seems to be in a stable and there's so many factions in AEW? Like it was it was just like, all right, what do we do with these guys? Let's put them in a stable. And it's the same thing kind of with tag teams now, where Tony, to your point about once the teams break up, all right, so now you have two different guys that you have to do something with as opposed to one team. It makes the problem worse.
Well, I think overall, Kevin, I think when AEW started, they signed a lot of guys because of their notoriety, because of the buzz that was around them, because of the name they were making for themselves. And they didn't want to be known as, like, you know, the WWE reject farm, which some people will still fucking call them that when you look at, like, who's on top, like Jon Moxley and Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho. But even besides that, you got to start thinking maybe everybody that you signed a year ago doesn't really fit where AEW is going, and you got to start cutting fucking bait. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it sucked because we have a lot of people that have come up that we know that are in their system now that they've been invested in, but eventually comes to some point where you can't have 100 people on your roster anymore. You just can't.
And you know why? It seems like, because they don't other than Dark, like, they don't have a Raw and SmackDown where you can kind of split that up. Like, it's just AEW. So, like, maybe, like, it seems like they have way too many talent because they only have, for lack of, you know, no disrespect to Dark, they have one show a week. So there's not a whole lot to do with all these guys.
Yeah.
WWE has Raw, SmackDown, NXT, where they can spread it out.
205, everything, you know, like, so there's tons of places where you could shove guys. And Kev, even with those four or five places to put them, there's still guys that don't work every week in WWE, you know, even outside the pandemic.
Guys that got released.
Yeah, but like how many times you look around, you're like, I haven't seen this fucking guy in months. Like, I had no idea the fucking Colognes were still on any fucking roster. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But they were for a while, and then, like, all of a sudden they come out of, like, mothballs. You're like, where the fuck have they been? AEW just doesn't have that. You know, like, if AEW, if you're not on Dark, you're not on fucking on Dynamite, you're fucking home. That's it.
Yeah,
you know?
Or you're in the crowd.
Yeah.
Who are they missing from their weekly programming?
Who?
AEW.
Well, we talked about it. Isn't fucking Zero Ammo still out, and fucking Pac is still gone?
They're in Mexico. They're outside the States. They can't get here. That's the only reason they're not on TV. That's where Jack Evans is. That's where Angelico is.
I forgot about.
I mean, you mentioned SCU. Right. Like, not too long ago, we were talking about Scorpio Sky possibly being a world champion. And now, like you said, he's on Dark.
Right.
So that's something.
Yeah, so Matt, the point is, what's going to happen when all these fucking guys come back? Like, you can't have 90 people on your show every week.
Well, you remember that they signed a contract to extend their deal on TNT, which includes a second show. Now, does COVID-19 affect that? 100%.
All right, forgot about that.
All right, but that's the other thing, like...
Which means it could be Dark, it could be another TV show.
No, you're right. Totally forgot about that second show that they had a deal with. So you're right. It's better to have them. And if you can afford it, it's better to have them than not have them. So Matt, you're 100% right.
And I feel like the way that they present their shows weekly and the way they use their talent, it keeps them fresh. And it's not a, oh great, we gotta have to see wrestler A again this week in another segment that I don't give a shit about.
Well,
yeah, but don't you want to be familiar with the talent? Like, don't you want to see them, like,
every week? Do I want to see, someone who's... Do I want to see Chad Gable every week? No. You know, like, do I want to see... Do I want to see fucking Jimmy Havoc every week? No, I don't. I'm fucking tired. I don't like Jimmy Havoc. The tag team thing worked. They filled a void during the pandemic. I don't want to sound mean when I say I'm happy he's not going to be on TV, but I'm happy he's not going to be on TV. Don't ring your bell. I'm fucking... I don't like Jimmy Havoc. I didn't like his shtick. I didn't like when he came in and
okay, but then the point is, like, do you just keep all these guys around if they're not fitting in? You know what I'm saying? Like, eventually, like, if you're not making hay with these guys, you got to fucking cut them loose.
Sure, at some point, but that's every business. That's everywhere.
I get it, but AEW keeps bringing in people, keep bringing in people. Eventually, you're going to have 100 people, and fucking 50 of them are going to be sitting around with nothing to do.
But you have another TV show that you clearly know is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to load up this TV show with fucking with AEW Dark?
No, you know, leave AEW Dark where it is. It costs you nothing. You tape the matches. When you do a live show, your live show is not 2 hours. They tape Dark before or after. So yeah. Leave that. That's so just whatever, a built-in whatever, thing.
Whatever this second show is going to be, I don't think it's going to turn out to be like Thunder. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you can only hope so.
I think it's going to be like you could have the top guys on and your main event's not going to be like, you know, Scott Hall versus Dave Taylor. Like, you know what I mean? It's going to be
in any arena in the country. What are you talking about?
You'll have your top guys and supplement it with the different characters. And I think Matt's point is severely underappreciated at this point. The second show is going to be huge.
And realistically, like, Chris Jericho is no spring chicken, right? He's not going to be doing this forever. Matt Hardy is not going to be doing this forever. What's to say that the Bucks and Cody don't want to transition into a backstage role? Why would you not want to sign a Ricky Starks?
I'm with you.
He's fucking...
He's no spring chicken. He's in the Coupe de Gras.
He's fucking young. Like, look at the guys that they have that are under 25. Jungle Boy, Ricky Starks, MJF.
Private Party got to be...
Private Party, they're young guys. Santana and Ortiz are pretty young. Like, yeah, make all the fun you want about them bringing in the Jake Hagers and the Brody Lees and every other WWE reject, but don't sleep on all these young kids that they're bringing in.
And I don't even think it's fair to criticize them bringing in a guy like Jake Hager. Jake Hager, to me, I don't think of Jack Swagger when I think of Jake Hager. I don't.
I'm with you, but there's always going to be, you know, today it was, Vince McMahon fired Jack Gallagher, but AEW hasn't done anything to Sammy Guevara yet. Like, there's always going to be that comparison because there's always those people out there. So,
yeah.
But, you know, there's a rhyme. I think that there's a rhyme and a reason for this, and they're building to whatever. Now, with this whole NWA thing, that could be another layer. If Cody'd be fucking dumb to go, why not have the NWA champion come on our show?
Especially with the clout that the NWA has got lately.
And the history with
the
Cody?
Best it's ever been.
You know, what? And then you get Nick on board, and then what's not to say you turn around and go, well, let's have Nick and Marty at All Out in August or September if Ring of Honor's not up and running. Let's do it there. You're just making everybody wins there, right? Ring of Honor's represented, NWA's represented, it's all under the AEW banner. Ah, who knows? It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Best Friends beat Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara with the help of Orange Cassidy, so it looks like Orange Cassidy Jericho at Fyter Fest, which is going to be awesome.
What a sneaky fucking way they won that match, too. How great was that?
I love it. I talked about it Wednesday night. No, you... And there's no better promotion that's done it than the WWE. What, they did one where Edge was inside the Hell in the Cell being a cameraman, right? Was that a thing they did, Kev?
Yeah, it was Edge.
Yeah, brilliant. Like, no one ever pay attention to the fucking camera guy. If you put a wig on him, you dress him up, like, it's just such a, if it's done right, it's awesome.
Yeah, and if you're Sim Snooker, you fucking let the Undertaker drop himself on his head.
Okay, brother.
I didn't kill him, brother.
So Dynamite should be pretty stacked this week. We're not going to get the Sammy Guevara Matt Hardy match. We're going to get an MJF. No, excuse me, a Wardlow Luchasaurus Lumberjack match. We're going to get FTR against the Natural Nightmare. So that should be fun.
Aren't all AEW matches essentially Lumberjack matches now? Because they're all right there all the time anyway.
It seems like it sometimes. and your boy Max Caster will be on Dark this week, Kevin.
Very happy to hear that, because he's been there in the crowd for a lot of these shows lately.
Yeah, he'll be taking on him, Serpentico, and Luther will be taking on Jurassic Express.
Oh boy,
Freestyle Fridays.
Luther is still there.
Luther is still there, buddy.
Wonderful.
That was the comparison when you brought up Abaddon. That's who I was comparing. I was like, Luther, like.
Kevin, you got a top five list for us.
All right, yeah. I'm gonna let you guys choose which list you want to do.
Oh, just pick one. Come on.
No, choose.
Pick one.
All right, I have two. Top five wrestler appearances in movies that aren't The Rock, or movies that star wrestlers or wrestlers are in that aren't The Rock, or top five superstars that have held both the U.S. and Intercontinental Championship?
I'll take the second one. What do you think?
I'm with you, Tony. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, let's do that one. We'll save the movie one for next week. Don't come up with another one for next week, because I think that's got some legs, too.
Yeah, but now you guys are going to do like the research for it.
I mean, I could tell you right off the top of my brain the movie one, too.
We're going to do both of them.
Oh, you want to do the movie one? Let's do the movie one.
I think the movie one will be a little more fun, to be honest with you.
All right, then fuck it. Let's do the movie one.
All right. Top five movies that wrestlers have either appeared in or starred in that's not The Rock.
Okay, wait a minute. Do they?
A little bit of both, Tony.
No. Are they wrestling-related movies, though? Or no. Like...
Okay. It doesn't have to be. They can be.
Oh, they can be. Okay. I say, can I go first?
Absolutely.
I'll go Terry Funk in Roadhouse.
Tony, that is number five.
Hey, all right, we cracked the top five. That's
on
good.
On the list. Hey, listen, last week you guys went 1-5. Maybe this week you go 5-1. Terry Funk, Roadhouse, number five. Matt.
I think I'll do a layup here. I will say Hulk Hogan in Gremlins 2.
Thought about it.
Ah!
Not on the list.
Really? All right.
All right. For my second choice, I'm going to go with the layup I thought you were going to go with. I'll say Roddy Piper in They Live.
Tony, that's number four.
Woohoo! Bitch!
And the only reason why I got number four is because I don't think I appreciated it enough in its time.
There you go. So a lot of people say that. A lot of people say that.
So that's number four. The other movies that I watched, I appreciated more when they came out or have the affinity for now. So you guys got number five and number four.
I will go Kevin Nash as Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Didn't even think about it.
Wow! You're coming up with some good ones too, man.
Well, I'm trying to think like Kevin.
Don't think like me.
I don't know if this is in Kevin's wheelhouse, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. I'm going to say Hulk Hogan in Rocky 3.
No.
Oh, boo!
And you guys, I'm not going to say anything until you guys get them all. So, and afterwards, you're going to yell at me for maybe not being upfront about the list.
I'm thinking outside the box, though. Maybe I should be a little more obvious. Go ahead, Matt.
Hulk Hogan in No Holds Barred.
Yeah.
Number one, Matt.
Hey, see, there you go. That's the one I should have went with. I was thinking maybe a little...
You guys both said Hulk Hogan, didn't get the movie. Hulk Hogan, No Holds Barred is number one.
I have a question. Is there any wrestler on this list twice?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to go outside the box again. I mean, there's so many that seem obvious. I'm going to go Randy Savage and Spider-Man.
Tony, thought about it.
Oh, come on, Kevin!
Wow!
Come on!
It was number six, Tony.
I'm coming up with gems here too, man.
Tony, but you're gonna love the one. You're gonna love the ones that are on the list. It was number six.
All right. Fair enough. All right, fine.
All right. So, damn. So Terry Funk in Roadhouse.
Roddy
Piper and They Live. So Scott Norton.
Hulk Hogan, No Holds Barred.
Scott Norton and Over the Top would not be on that list.
No. Didn't even think about it.
Damn.
Forgot about it until you just mentioned it.
Was that your guess?
That was my guess, yes.
And you said nobody repeats.
Nobody repeats.
So you see, we can't even do like Body Slam.
Good point.
Stop it.
It's a fact.
Come on, you guys are missing. I think you're missing one ridiculously obvious one and two kind of obvious, but gettable.
Come on, man. It's on you.
Oh, it's back to me.
Oh, I thought you were just throwing Scott Norton out there as like a...
No, that was my guess.
No, that was his real guess.
Okay. how about every other wrestler in...
MacGruber? No.
Oh, what the fuck was it? I can't even remember what the name of it was. The fucking WCW movie.
Oh, Ready to Rumble? No,
yes.
I didn't even think about that movie.
Well, there you go.
That wasn't even on my radar. But I'm telling you... These are good. The last two are good.
John Cena in Trainwreck.
Oh.
I got one.
Gosh.
The Undertaker in Suburban Commando.
These are really, really good movies.
No.
We didn't. Oh, The Undertaker. Oh, I'm gonna get you, Ramsey.
No.
No.
Fuck.
Fucking A. Jeez. All right. Thinking.
Oh, I got one. Can I go?
So yes.
Blatant. Ernest Miller in The Wrestler.
Thought about it. Didn't include it. Come on. These guys are
Andrew Anderson in The Wrestler.
Yes. That is number 1A.
Stone Cold in The Condemned.
No WWE films.
Stone Cold in The Longest Yard.
No.
Fuck.
Guys, these are like, one is like ridiculously staring you in the face. It's sickening that you haven't got this one yet.
Fuck, dude.
It's a classic movie, like, of all time. Cult following, huge, mainstream huge. A lot of big stars in it.
See, I would have said Mick Foley and Peanut Butter Falcon, but you fuckers never saw that movie, so that wouldn't have been on your list.
I'm shocked that you guys haven't got this one yet.
Was Jake the Snake in any movies that Kevin
saw? Stop yourself. You're making me sick, Tony.
Stone Cold, was Stone Cold in The Expendables?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not on the list. It's not even. That wouldn't be 12, Matt. That wouldn't be 12.
Fuck.
This is like, you guys are going to kill yourself. No,
it's not.
Harsh.
You don't have Zeus from No Holds Barred on there, do you?
No. Okay. No. Guys, come on. Of all time. So.
Of all time.
Sometimes you have to take a trip in your way back machine.
Oh, boy. The way back machine.
Not super, super way back, but we were alive for it.
I was going to say, it's not Vern Gagne in The Wrestler, is it?
No, it's not. It's not Baron Von Raschke. It's not Ox Baker. It's not George Animal Steel. Guys, there's still two you have to get. There's still two.
Jerry Lawler and Man on the Moon?
It was?
Great guess, but no.
Captain Lou Albano in Wise Guys?
No.
Captain Lou Albano in the Super Mario Brothers movie?
No.
No, he was in the TV show.
It was Dennis Haskins.
Holy shit.
God damn, dude.
You guys are gonna ruin yourselves.
Fucking Andre the Giant, Princess Bride.
Bride, Andre the Giant, number three.
Number three,
because I just like the second. Two. I like number two more. I like the movie more.
Was Kurt Hawkins in a movie?
He was in a movie, but he's not on the list.
Fuck.
My dear good friend, Kurt Hawkins.
You know, Edge has a movie coming out called, like, Money Casino?
It's already out, I think.
And did you know Stu Bennett's got a movie coming out, too?
Which is also already out.
Fuck! I'm behind the times. Stu Bennett in that movie that just came out.
No.
Matt's.
I'll give you a hint. This guy is in a supporting role in the movie, which I guess is not really a hint.
Yeah, that doesn't really help.
Because they're all, other than Hulk Hogan, they're all supporting roles. And Piper.
Is this a movie we know?
Yes, 100%.
That makes it worse.
100%.
That makes
like,
it.
Like 1,000%.
Recent movie, old school movie, like our childhood.
Probably childhood to for you.
Thanks, Joe.
I don't know. I don't remember the year. I didn't write that down. But it's you guys gotta know it.
Fuck. Huh. I'm fucking stumped, dude. I started off strong and I fucking petered out real fast.
I wouldn't say strong. I'd say okay.
Come on, dude. I nailed 5 and 4.
There are a lot of good guesses in there.
That's true. The first, yeah. Well, I mean, once you... Maybe this is... I mean, you'll know the movie, but maybe for this list, it's probably not the best number two. But you 1,000% know the movie.
Oh, fucking Mr. Saito in Pee-wee's Playhouse and Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Get out of here. You could have. No. If you were to go with anything, you would have gone with Odd Job from James Bond, but no.
Fuck. Francis is not here.
All right, Kev, give it to us. I don't know. I'm tapped. Am I gonna hate myself for this?
I'll give you the main star's name. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the star of the movie.
Oh fuck! Predator, Jesse Ventura.
Yep.
Fuck.
Wow.
Jesse the Body Ventura. Predator,
God damn, that's
two.
A good one.
That
God
is a good
damn
one.
It.
That was an excellent list.
God damn. Woo. Yeah, man. That was good. Don't even tell me the topic again. I forgot what it was. Save the other one for next week.
No problem. A couple of more honorable mentions. Batista, whatever.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay.
But I never saw it, so I can't really say. I thought of...
That was a good one, Kev. That was a really good one. Top five superstars in movies that aren't The Rock.
I really like this gimmick. I like this.
Well
a
done.
Lot.
That was well done.
Thank you, Don LaGreca.
Very upset that you didn't go Scott Norton in over the top.
I forgot. I didn't even think about it. I didn't think about The Wrestler. I didn't think about Ready to Rumble. I didn't think about all the wrestling movies. I didn't think about.
Well, it's better that you didn't. I like it. These are movies that are off the beaten path, like that the average wrestling fan wouldn't think of because they're not wrestling movies. Well, for the most part, I mean, no holds barred, but still.
That was fun.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
I had to go with that number one.
Of course.
Yeah, I think you did. That was a good call. We got anything else before we wrap this up? It was just fucking.
I think it's time to pull this train into the station. I think we covered a lot tonight.
Fucking sure did.
I think there's some New Japan Cup for Kevin to catch up on. You could find out what happened on Raw tonight. I know we had a big return last week. Which, you know, in one hand you have this awesome Christian return with Ric Flair and Randy Orton involved. On the other hand, you have the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits fight Akira Tozawa and a bunch of ninjas and the Big Show's involved. So, I mean, you know, this is like gold in one hand and then a steaming pile of shit in the other. So, you know, if that's what you're into, enjoy that. Impact was fun this week. Check it out. Although I don't know what they're doing with half the roster since they're all sexual abusers. So we'll see what happens there. I guess Joey Ryan won't be part of cancel culture anymore, which was the stable he was in. So that'll be interesting to see.
Which is ironic because he's canceled as fuck right now.
Of course. A side note, your boy Moose defended his title against Hernandez last Tuesday, Tony. And after he won, he graciously awaited his entrance music to play, but EC3's music played.
Ooh, EC3's back?
They're teasing it hard. Don't play that. I asked you for something tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you. Oh, you didn't fucking remind me, Dick.
You didn't tell me to remind you. I sent you a photo and everything.
You didn't tell me when you wanted me to play it.
I said anytime tonight.
Well, there you go.
Why
can
is
you hear
so
it
so loud? Yeah.
It's loud, really? How's that?
Beautiful. It's beautiful because Tai Chi beat Tanahashi.
That's the only reason why you wanted me to play this shit.
No, I like it. It's catchy. I was listening to it before I started the show.
Catch these nuts.
That's not very friendly.
Trying.
We are the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast every Monday night, 7 o'clock on the Rant EM Radio or wherever you download your favorite podcasts, including this one. Please leave a review. Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Google Play, wherever. I don't know. We're available everywhere. Facebook.com/Wizards Podcast. Twitter @Wizards Podcast. Instagram @Wizards Podcast. Got a couple extra bucks. Go over to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. ProWrestlingTees.com/Shining Wizards. We're working on a couple new designs. And of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/Wizards Podcast. Tony emphatically mentioned before, for as little as $1 a month, he will scream your name like a lunatic. That's right. Also, we're on the hot mic. If you have to want to check that out and watch us act like a bunch of hooligans, hopefully things are starting to simmer down here, and we can eventually get back to studio and do a show together. We'll be back next week talking all things wrestling. Hopefully, we won't spend the first 45 minutes next week talking about how awful the wrestling business is, and spend more time doing top five lists because Kevin hit a fucking home run tonight.
You gotta fuck my wife. God damn.
Yeah, don't be a pervert. Don't be an asshole. Don't be a racist. Don't be a bully.
Fuck my wife. God damn.
Don't fuck Jim Cornette's wife.
You cuck.
Don't fuck anybody's wife. Seriously, it's not cool.
We'll see. Love you all.
We'll see.
Keep being brave and standing up.
We'll see you next week.
Later, folks.
See ya.
I gotta shut this fucking music off. Holy shit.
How dare you disrespect Tai Chi?
How dare you?